control.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, December 2nd, 2021. This is your award-winning Gimbo Nation Media Assassination, episode 1404.
This is No Agenda.
Unjumbling Media Control. And broadcasting live from the heart of Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region number 6. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I have a correction to be made later, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Greg, Bob, and Buzzkill in the morning.
Oh, my goodness. The whole universe is shuddering. You have a correction. This is not done. This is not done in mainstream media. We don't correct things.
That's true, but we do it all the time. It just so happens, during the donation segment, I will read the note. We just so happened to, I find it very peculiar that this happens a lot, that when Mike Pence was kicked out.
Oh, yeah, of Hamilton.
We actually had an actress, one of our listeners, in the audience.
Yes, a so-called acting producer.
And so our acting producer corrected the record. In a kind of a complex way that I've never heard before. And I have to assume, although I have yet to get a hold of Pence, which I'm going to do.
I did find the New York Times reporting on it, which corroborates what our acting producer said.
Okay. Anyway,
explain what happened? I mean, you didn't even give us the correction.
No, I said I was going to read her note later.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Okay. Well, in that case,
during the note reading
section, during the note reading section of the show. So there's another anagram, another jumbling of words. You identified the Omicron equals moronic. That was good. That was identified worldwide. There's a new one. If you take Delta Omicron, which are the two subsequent variants, you can anagram that into media control. More proof.
Media control.
I hope Omicron is with us for a long time. Because the stories are fantastic.
In Amsterdam, dozens of people are staying at a quarantine hotel. They tested positive after arriving on flights from South Africa. 13 of them infected with Omicron. Now, police have reportedly arrested a couple at the border after they allegedly fled that hotel.
Ah, yeah, people are escaping, man. They're running away from the quarantine hotels. Australia, breaking news, breaking news.
Good morning. We start with breaking news in Darwin, where three people have escaped from the Howard Springs COVID quarantine facility.
Oh, no.
Talia Sav is there for us. Talia, good morning.
Oh, put on the ground.
Underway right now.
Yes, that's right, Davina. Good morning to you. We've been told the trio scaled the fence in the early hours of this morning. Police receiving reports around 4:40 a.m. Now, major police checkpoints have been set up around Howard Springs for the past several hours. As you can see in these pictures, they've been conducting thorough searches in car boots, checking vehicle registrations, cars and buses alike. But in the last half an hour, what we understand is they've actually been dismantled. Exactly why, that hasn't been confirmed. Hopefully good news. We're also not sure yet who these people are connected with, whether it's a repatriation flight or those Aboriginal community members who have been staying here following the Catherine cluster. Davina, what we do know is that this is definitely going to bring these.
Subjugation is liberation. Contradiction is truth. Those are the facts of this world. And you will all surrender to them. You pigs in human clothes.
Stop scaling the fences. Stay in your quarantine hotels.
The first case in the United States is actually local.
Ah, yes. Are you locked in? Are you triple masked? Are you afraid?
I'm never going to be afraid. Let's skip to Angelique Coetzee, the head of the South African Medical Association, who came out with this report. And this is the complete clip of her discussing the disease that was found and discussed in South Africa, with an explanation of the thing, which nobody wants to really talk about this.
If I could just find which clip it is.
O-M-I.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Everything is an O-M-I, O-M-I.
The overall patients that was recorded yesterday was 3,000 and around about 3,700. So our positivity rate is 9.2%. It is, yes, it is more than we would have loved it to be. But looking at the mildness of the symptoms that we are seeing, currently there is no reason for panicking as we don't see severely ill patients. So what we see with this one is, again, it started, normally it will always start with your younger people. So it started with the younger generation, 40 and less. And the most predominant clinical complaint is severe fatigue for 1 or 2 days, with then the headache and the body aches and pain. Some of them will have what they call a scratchy throat, and some will have a cough, a dry cough, but it's not a constant cough. It comes and goes. And that's more or less the big symptoms that we have seen.
I know. This markets are just like, oh my God, that's a horrible report. Scratchy throat. Drop the Dow.
Scratchy.
Do you want to contrast with Fauci? Or do you want to play these other?
No, that's good. Well, since we got case one here in the local area, they don't want to bring up the mildness of this, but they brought up the case. And you can see already with this first case in San Francisco that it's, at the very beginning of this thing, that French Nobel Prize winning in medicine doctor said that this would eventually fall apart because it was created in a lab. And like all of them do, they fall apart and they go back to their roots. And this thing is very slowly turning into the common cold.
Home to San Francisco from South Africa on November 22nd. This person tested positive a week later, and a genetic analysis conducted at the University of California in San Francisco determined that the virus this person was carrying was the Omicron variant. That was then confirmed by the CDC.
Do we know how sick this person is? Do we know if they may have spread the Omicron variant to anybody else?
According to the CDC, this traveler had mild symptoms but is now improving. That's consistent with the early reports from South Africa that the Omicron cases there seem to be mild, but it's far too soon to make any conclusions about the severity of disease that this variant causes. Officials say the infected person is now self-quarantining, and everyone who had close contact with this person has been contacted, and they have all tested negative so far. So far, no signs that it's spread, which is obviously good news. One of the big concerns about this variant is that it may be very contagious. If so, the fear is that it could take over from the Delta variant and potentially either accelerate the surge that's already underway or even spark a new one.
This is a very wet report from him. very wet report.
So he's going to go, this is the part two we're discussing.
Sure. Rob, do we know if this person was vaccinated?
Yeah, that's a big good question. Yes, this person was vaccinated.
Wait, what did he say? He actually said...
Sure. Rob, do we know if this person was vaccinated?
Yeah, that's a big good question.
That's a big good question.
Yes, this person was vaccinated, according to Dr. Anthony Fauci, who answered questions about the case at a White House briefing. But Fauci says this person did not receive a booster.
And
the CDC nor Dr. Fauci said which vaccine this person had received.
A boosterless human resource.
No.
Boosterless.
That's why he got it.
Yeah, because he was not boosted. Boosterless.
So that's our local case.
Well, sure let's contrast that.
What can we do to make this worse?
Do you have a clip for what we can do to make it worse?
No idea. Well, I can tell you what we can do to make it worse. It just sounds like it's worse.
Well, let's listen to Fauci's official announcement. This is at his lectern in the spotlight with all the press conference. Fauci has an announcement.
So, as some of you may have heard, the California and San Francisco.
The tell is right there, right at the front. Now, that's interesting you bring this up because this video has been analyzed by many a producer. And Fauci's tongue is darting out between his lips continuously while he's giving this, minute 15 speech. And, you know, so there's a lot of people have done the Zoom, rotate, enhance. And yeah, yeah, of course,
he's lying.
Well, so what people are saying is he's a lizard. He's a lizard. OK, well, of course, he's a lizard. That. But just so you know, CIA analysts, agents in the field are taught from day one. If someone is talking to you and at the end of a statement, they stick their tongue out, that means it's a lie. It's like they're trying to expel the bullshit. Blah, blah. So with him, he knows this whole bucket of bull is coming. So he just has to blah, up front.
So as some of you may have heard, the California and San Francisco Departments of Public Health and the CDC have confirmed that a recent case of COVID-19 among an individual in California was caused by the Omicron variant. Genomic sequencing was...
Even that, you know, just by using these words like an individual, you know, it almost has some urgency to it. It's really interesting the words he chooses sometimes.
An individual in California was caused by the Omicron variant. Genomic sequencing was conducted at the University of California at San Francisco. And the sequence was confirmed at the CDC as being consistent with the Omicron variant. So I know there are a lot of questions, but here's what we know right now. The individual was a traveler who returned from South Africa on November the 22nd and tested positive on November the 29th. The individual is self-quarantining, and all close contacts have been contacted, and all close contacts thus far have tested negative. The individual was fully vaccinated and experienced mild symptoms, which are improving at this point. So this is the first confirmed case of COVID-19 caused by the Omicron variant detected in the United States. And as all of you know, because we've been discussing this, we knew that it was just a matter of time before the first case of Omicron would be detected in the United States. And as you know, I've been saying it, and my colleagues on the medical team and others.
Wow, this is a great performative. As you know, we know, I've been saying, this is like a triple performative. That's really good.
We know what we need to do to protect people.
Yeah, boost.
Get vaccinated. Yeah. If you're not already vaccinated, get boosted.
Get boosted.
If you've been vaccinated for more than 6 months with an mRNA or 2 months with J&J.
You know, I think Fauci really didn't do a good job. The prime minister of Israel. Now, that's a guy, if you want to rile people up amongst a population that is, what are they now, 90% vaccinated? It's like, you cannot function in Israel without your vaccination pass. And it includes the booster now. Otherwise, your pass is not valid. They're ahead of the game. This is
you don't forget that the head of Pfizer is an Israeli.
It helps. Here's the
sure, apparently it does.
Here's the Israeli prime minister, and he's speaking in English, which isn't typical for these type of scare tactics. So I have to believe it was intended.
When you're encouraged to do it for the purposes of scaring more than just the Israelis,
yes.
It's very common.
Yes, well, he's doing a good job. Have a listen.
I want to thank South Africa's medical system and government for being open, for being transparent, sharing all the information with us.
This is so good. I mean, the information they shared was, it's not too bad, couple people, mild. Thank you for sharing that important information. It's very important for what I'm about to say.
This new B11529 variant is concerning and has the potential to be very dangerous. We are raising a red flag. We understand that we're on the verge of a state of emergency. Just 2 weeks ago, Israel carried out a national drill to prepare for this very outcome.
Really now?
The Omega war game, the variant called Omega.
Huh.
Of a variant that is even more contagious, that may bypass to a certain degree the vaccines. And now we see a variant that spreads faster and requires us to respond faster. We've been working together with...
Stop. Where does he get that data? That's not anywhere in the literature that it spreads faster.
Well, everyone says we're not sure. Let me see exactly what he said here.
Spreads faster.
Let me go back a little.
And now we see a variant that spreads faster.
No, you're right. He's got data we don't have.
and requires us to respond faster.
Oh, yes, of
course. We've been working together with other world leaders, and now's the time to act fast, early, hard, and strong.
Damn, fast, early, hard, and strong. That's your No Agenda show. So they are acting fast, early, hard, and strong.
This guy's a liar.
Oh, he's a total liar.
He's a liar.
Yeah. Well, you want to talk about lies? Even though he's resigned and he's on his way out, or this will be his last term session, etc. Dr. Collins, the Fauci's boss, he's out doing the rounds. You know, when Fauci fails, bring in Dr. Collins. And he was with Dana Bash on CNN's State of the Union, and he brought his prop.
So what is it about this variant that has experts so worried?
I think the main thing that has us focused on this and has caused a lot of us to be sort of 24/7.
Oh, hello, Tell. Why is he laughing? Why is he laughing when this is a serious matter?
I think the main thing that has us focused on this and has caused a lot of us to...
What is he laughing about? The main thing that has kept us focused.
The main thing is guys are going to believe everything I say.
Focusing on this.
I think the main thing that has us focused on this and has caused a lot of us to be sort of 24/7 on Zoom calls.
Oh, God, we're cracking up. Oh, we're 24/7 on Zoom calls.
Zoom calls for the last 4 days is that it has so many mutations. Omicron has more than 50 variants that make it different.
Wait. What happened to the 32 flavors of Baskin-Robbins? Now it has 50, and now the variant has variants?
Omicron has more than 50 variants that make it different than the original virus, including more than 30 that are in the spike protein.
Oh,
I brought my little model along in case people have forgotten what this looks like.
And there he had that shitty-ass ball with all those little spikes on
spikes.
It. Yep, there. Spikes. Oh, yeah.
So big picture, Dr. Collins, does this new variant set us back in our efforts to end this pandemic once and for all?
Well, it's certainly not good news. We don't know yet how much of an impact
sounds
this
like,
will
hold
have.
On a second. If this thing is deteriorating and it's now this latest version, which is
it's not good news.
Virulent, yeah.
perhaps.
Or more contagious. I'm not virulent. So that actually has a secondary meaning. Contagious, supposedly. At least the Israeli guy thinks so. And it's deteriorating into the common cold, which is what it seems to look like with the scratchy throat and it's a cold symptom. Why is this worrying? It seems like it's... Why doesn't somebody look at it from that perspective, somebody in the media or one of these experts, and actually try to tell the public, hey, this is looking good. It's the way it should be going. It's going fine. If this variant is as mild as it's supposed to be, and it might take over from Delta, we're in the clear. Why doesn't somebody even take that tact when it's a tact you could take?
Do you think it's because it's not really about health? And perhaps there's a different agenda at play? I'm just going to have to assume that's shooting from the hip here.
People are irresponsible otherwise.
I'm just shooting from the hip, thinking maybe it's more about getting people registered. Oh, there's an act. I forgot to tell you about that. There is... where is this? It was the... There's like 80 Republicans in the House voted for some bill that creates a national vaccine registry.
Really?
That's the headline, of course. All the Democrats voted for it. Yeah.
Yeah, all the Democrats who were once, like when I was at Cal, for example, I was a Democrat. And everybody was, you know, this was after the free speech movement and all these things, the filthy speech movement, all these things came and went. And the main bumper sticker around was question authority. And that seems to be swapped out.
Question authority, yeah. Yeah, good times.
It's swapped out for, you know, obey. Well, you got the old question authority was the main bumper. No, tear that off and put the bumper sticker on obey. That's your Democrats today. Hello, Democrats.
Let's go back to Dr. Collins.
So big picture, Dr. Collins, does this new variant set us back in our efforts to end this pandemic once and for all?
Well, it's certainly not good news. We don't know yet how much of an impact this will have. It ought to redouble our efforts to use the tools that we have, which are vaccinations. Yeah.
And he sounds a little bit like Tim Cook. Doesn't he sound like Tim Cook?
Yeah.
Like we have the iPad, and he sounds like Tim Cook.
It ought to redouble our efforts.
For our stock buy, redouble our
right
efforts.
Right there. It's just like telling us.
It's the same guy. It's the same actor.
We don't know yet how much of an impact this will have. It ought to redouble our efforts to use the tools that we have, which are vaccinations and boosters. And to be sure, we're getting those to the rest of the world, too, which the U.S. is doing more than any other country. It also means we need to pay attention to those mitigation strategies that people are just really sick of, like wearing masks when you're indoors with other people who might not be vaccinated.
Yep. More laughs.
And keeping that social distance issue. I know, America, you're really tired of hearing those things, but the virus is not tired of us, and it's shape-shifting itself.
If you it's shape-shifting.
On a race track here, the virus just sort of emerged in a new version, and it's trying to catch up with us, and we have to use every kind of tool in our toolbox to keep that from getting in a situation that makes this worse.
He actually said it's shape-shifting. What kind of medical man uses this term?
Come on.
Shape-shifting!
Science.
Oh, man. All right, so let's just go to another expert. Collins is so last year, so 2019. We need to go to the modern guy. We need to go to Dr. Osterholm.
What should we expect? What do we at this point know about the efficacy of the vaccines against this new variant?
Well, you heard conflicting information just today. A report out of Israel said it probably is going to work pretty well. The CEO of Moderna, the vaccine manufacturer, said it's probably going to be challenged. I think that it's surely obviously somewhere between those two extremes. I think what we can see from previous studies of vaccines that were done in South Africa and South America earlier this year, where there was at that time the beta and gamma variants circulating, these were two that had the same types of mutations that we now see on this new variant. And in both of those instances, vaccine protection was reduced substantially in terms of infection. But at the same time, it showed that you could reduce substantially the number of people who got seriously ill or hospitalized and die. So even using the current vaccines, if you are fully vaccinated, you are standing a much better chance of not having a severe infection with this new variant.
I mean, the message is so clear. It's like variant, get a vaccine, variant, get a vaccine, get a vaccine, get a vaccine, get a vaccine.
Yeah,
even though the person who had the variant in America was vaccinated, they just
he wasn't boosted.
And what is the developmental process for tuning up these vaccines?
Science again.
If you can get an adequate information about this new variant and go into the lab, can you retool these vaccines to aim it at that new variant?
In fact, that effort is going on 24/7 right now.
You know, these guys are using these languages, like retool and was tuning up. A lot of this is violence. The idea of getting boosted. I mentioned in the newsletter. I'll say it on the show. Getting boosted means you got robbed.
Yes.
You got robbed or you got gypped. Something happened. You got boosted. And so they're using this, which is not the right, you should get a booster shot, but you don't get boosted. And so you get boosted means you got robbed. And now this tuning up is a phrase for like beating the shit out of somebody. I tuned the guy up.
Oh, really? I'm not familiar with that.
Yes,
meaning of the word. This is gangster talk.
It's gangster talk. These guys are. And I have said it on the show before that if you look at the CEOs of these big drug companies, the big boys, big ones.
They are gangsters.
They all seem like a bunch of gangsters.
Hey, okay, so we got to stop, and I have to tell you this trail that I've been on. So Moderna, there's problems with Moderna. There's a trial going on now about the data integrity of Pfizer, but also Moderna. And There's problems with patents. There's all this stuff going on. But as we look at these trials, and there's now, there are some information is being released. Turns out in the Pfizer trial, I think 1,223 people died. In the trial, we didn't hear much about that.
And this is only the tip of the iceberg. This is 1/100th of the total report.
This is the Edelweiss on top of the whole mountain. I mean, it's so unbelievable what's going to come out about this. But anyway, so there appear to be real problems with the trial data. And when it comes to Moderna, but the Moderna guys, I mean, this was a failing company worth $19 million or something, and until something happened and a whole bunch of people got stock and a lot of people got really rich. And the guys who started the company, they're kind of like public company whores. They start stuff up, the equivalent of SPAC people in my mind. But the trials made use of a software as a service. Specific medical trial software, very specific for vaccinations, from a company called Metadata Solutions. And this is just annoying. Metadata Solutions is the company that was founded by and was run up until a couple weeks ago by Glenn DeVries. That's the guy who died mysteriously in his Cessna 172. And the NTSB did release a report. There was no engine failure. They said it was a medical emergency, and the only thing they can offer up as the medical emergency is that there might have been a small puncture in the exhaust, and it might have been carbon monoxide poisoning. Well, let me tell you,
that's creative.
I have flown in the shittiest Cessna 172s. It's what I learned to fly fixed wing on. And a carbon monoxide detector, it's a little button that you can literally stick on the instrument panel. Every single one has it. So to quote a good friend of mine, I'm not buying it. So anyway, I just thought that was an interesting tie-in. Are there coincidences? Maybe. But there's something.
I think not.
I think there's something going on with trial data. Anyway, we'll go back
Remember I did that little mini play about how I could be the character who is all in on global warming, and then when it turns out to be a hoax, I have every reason in the world to still be right.
Yes.
I think that this whole thing is like a cover for the FDA and the CDC, so they'll be right, because at the end of the day, when somebody says, "Hey, this didn't work out," or we have another systemic failure, like thalidomide, let's say, down the road, they can say, "Well, we looked at the science, which was provided by the drug companies, and we fault them," and then the drug companies say, "We had this one scientist who was rogue."
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is never going to be, they're never going to pinch anybody for this. It's just obvious.
Well, no, of course. But this may be the one time, maybe nothing. Back to Osterholm.
Can you retool?
Back to the violent words.
Retool these vaccines to aim it at that new variant.
In fact,
that effort is going on 24/7 right now. What's happening is the companies that make these vaccines are receiving the genetic information about this virus. They're in the lab making the vaccines. They will be bringing these vaccines forward for studies in people to look at how well they make antibody and the rest of the immune response in those individuals. They also will make sure that they're safe. And then the FDA will consider these as what we call a strain change. Just like we do influenza vaccine every year, we don't relicense a new influenza vaccine. We exchange one influenza vaccine for another. And it's fully anticipated that the FDA will take this initial data and use that to approve the vaccines for use. This whole process could take anywhere from 3.5 to 4 months, though. So we're going to have to use the vaccines we have now and use them effectively to address this issue.
Okay. Strain change.
Let's go back to a correction. Because I challenged you with the fact that, bull crap, there's maybe where's the documentation for the fact that there's a use authorization is only because there's no proven alternative?
The, the law is, and I
Let me finish. And so you sent me a note with the, some details, and now I want you to tell me what you sent me.
Well, I don't remember exactly. I think I sent an extract from the law.
It was a specific citation.
What I remember, and maybe, and the way, if I feel like I'm being set up, so.
You're not being set up.
Okay. The way I recall it and what I sent you, I believe states that you cannot have emergency use authorization for biologics. I believe it's vaccine or biologics. It's under the same category. Unless there is no approved, that is a key term, alternative. Now, and the term approved is, I don't think it's described very well or at all, because it could be approved for one use, but not for the specific one that would work on the vaccine.
So we would extrapolate that to mean that they're never going to accept ivermectin into the scheme of things,
well,
because that would screw up the authorized use or the emergency use authorization.
Use.
Now, so I'm thinking, wait a minute, what, there's a very interesting little gotcha here. They have never approved the Pfizer vaccine, BioNTech vaccine in the United States, but they approve what they keep saying is the exact same vaccine in Germany,
mm-hmm.
the BioNTech vaccine.
Yes.
And if you keep looking back and forth, they keep saying it's the same. Is it possible that they're never going to give a approval for these vaccines, because then they won't, if they approve the Pfizer the way they did the BioNTech, would that then eliminate the emergency use authorization for Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, because you now you have an approved product that works? So is it a possible wink, wink, nudge, nudge deal between all these vaccine makers where they're saying, no, hey, whatever you do, don't accept the approval, because then we're screwed and we're going to screw you down the road someday if the thing reverses itself.
That makes a lot of sense. The only thing that's bugging me is... No, go ahead.
Well, let me just finish with this thought. That would also mean that the Pfizer ivermectin pill, whatever that stuff is that they're putting in there, that has to come in as emergency use. I keep saying youth. Emergency use authorization is a tongue twister.
Well, no, but you're
because if that was approved, then the vaccines would be kicked off the market.
Yes, and you are correct. And here is the proof. Even though we know that it's only, I think, 30% efficacy.
Hey, Sarah, it was a pretty close vote, but they did vote in favor of recommending EUA for Merck's molnupiravir. The vote was 13 yes, 10 no, with zero abstentions. They are
so. It's an emergency youth. Now I'm doing it. Emergency.
You can't get out of it.
Thanks. Emergency youth authorization for the Merck pill. And I'll just finish the rest of the clip. It's kind of interesting.
I thought that was for the Pfizer pill.
No. This is the Merck pill. This is the Merck pill that doesn't work. This is the Merck pill that has 34% efficacy.
Meanwhile, it's just sitting on ivermectin, but can make money at 50 cents a pill.
Zero abstentions. They are going through why they voted the way they did now. There seem to be concerns about the use of this drug in pregnancy. So now they're discussing how broadly it should be used and whether there should be any recommendations on essentially trying to contain any potential risks for certain groups with this drug because of the known potential side effect profile here. So a narrow vote in favor of Merck's antiviral drug. This then goes to the FDA itself to make the decision. So we'll wait to hear from the agency. If cleared, it would be the first antiviral pill that you can take by mouth for COVID-19. Guys, back to you.
How else do you take pills? By butt? Anyway.
Well, maybe.
Okay, so what I was going to say is the only thing that's bugging me, just scratching the back of my mind, is this is just a pattern. So pattern recognition for what it is. It's virtual yarn in between, thumbtacks on a corkboard. It feels like someone's going to get the blame for shit. And just like the Sacklers and Purdue Pharma, Johnson & Johnson paid five times the amount in fines. You don't hear anything about it. The Sacklers are excoriated. Purdue Pharma is taken over by the government. You got your bad guy. Moderna could be the bad guy here.
It's a possible. Why not? Because that's a stock that you can
including
on the downside.
Including killing the CEO of the company, you know, to cover up bad data.
It's a possibility that you could clean up with Moderna. You're not going to clean, no matter what you do, if Pfizer's hard to move as a stock.
Yeah.
So you can't make hay by, you know,
think about the short. Think about the short on
that's
Moderna.
What I said. The downside is stupendous.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Stupendous.
But here's the crazy thing, though. Of all the things this is being used to perhaps cover up or you know, make sure stuff happens in the background in the right manner and the right people get screwed, what the Federal Reserve and Powell, that was astounding.
The head of the Federal Reserve said today that the new variant, Omicron, could throw a wrench into America's economic recovery.
Oh, yeah.
Slowing hiring and hampering the fight against inflation.
Anything.
Well, that sent shockwaves through Wall Street. The Dow fell more than 600 points. That's a loss of nearly 2%. More than 200 cases of the new variant have turned up in 20 countries.
And like, a good little soldier... A good little soldier, little Jimmy Cramer, he went on his little show there and did exactly what he was supposed to do.
Lord knows what happened if he didn't partake. But back then, anyone who refused to get vaccinated would get ratted out immediately because we knew that person could hurt other people. The common wheel was a common wheel. Now we're engaged in a similar struggle with COVID, and Eisenhower would be aghast. We have immunocompromised people who are incubators for every variant to come, walking around lawfully unvaccinated? That's psychotic. We have companies that have tried hard to get people vaccinated and now backing down. We have governors who want to be president by grandstanding on a foolish states' right issue, the right to get sick and get other people sick. So it's time to admit that we have to go to war against COVID. Require vaccination universally. Have the military run it. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you better be ready to prove your conscientious objector status in court. And even then, you need to help in the war effort by staying home until we finally beat this thing.
And that's pretty deranged. Let the military run it. Yeah, I hope Jimmy thinks about this during this Hanukkah season.
He was blasted for that.
He should be blasted for it. But how about your buddy? Your buddy, John Heilman. Heilman. What's his name? Heilman. Is it Heilman?
Heilman.
John Heilman. He's your buddy, right? Or was your buddy? I can't believe
I know him.
He doesn't talk to you anymore. There's no way.
No, he's gotten too big for
So I think me. I think it was my neighbor, Laura Logan, who compared Fauci to Joseph Mengele, which, of course, is hilariously, is a great comparison.
Nails it.
Yeah, I mean, and for those who don't recall, Mengele was the doctor who, under his auspices, all kinds of horrible experiments were conducted, including vaccinations and castrations and just groovy fun stuff. And so this comparison, it has just freaked everybody out. And Morning Joe, they had to have a whole roundtable conversation about it, including your buddy, John Heilman.
Well, on Fox News a couple of nights ago, unchallenged, prominent media figures comparing Dr. Fauci to a Nazi.
Yes.
Doctor.
Yes.
Completely unchallenged by the host and by the panel. They said they're all nodding along because that is part of the narrative.
Hold on a second. We listened to nothing but millions of clips where whatever the person says is unchallenged. But, so what's new?
But how many times have we heard people being compared to Nazis in specifically? Mengele's like boss,
Hitler
Mengele's boss,
Trump?
Hitler. Yes. But now it's like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. This is horrible.
Well, on Fox News a couple of nights ago, unchallenged, prominent media figures comparing Dr. Fauci to a Nazi.
Yes.
Doctor.
Yes.
Completely unchallenged by the host and by the panel. They said they're all.
What?
Wait, does he not even give her enough doesn't even mention her name?
No, prominent. Left. She's a prominent media figure.
She doesn't even get a free plug.
No.
She gets no plug.
She gets a plugless slam.
Oh, that's the worst.
It's
that's
not
the
done.
Lowest.
Yeah, it's not done in the news business.
No,
I agree.
Completely unchallenged by the host and by the panel. They're all nodding along because that is part of the narrative. If you go to the far reaches of Facebook, that's been a story for a long time, that Fauci's profiting off the vaccine, all these things that aren't true. And that moves into the mainstream of conservative media, and it becomes gospel that he's a villain and that somehow he's asserting his power by trying to get people vaccinated and protect the American public from this disease that's killed 700,000 people.
And that's because if people follow Fauci, there's likelier a chance that COVID will go away. And if COVID goes away, it's bad right now for Republicans. It's just the math on this, the political math on this, is not hard to figure out.
And there's your buddy. Oh, it's all political. They are only doing it because, you know, it's good for Republicans to win in the midterm. Really? What he's doing is he's handing out the Democrat Party playbook. That's exactly what you do, is you call someone Hitler, Hitler, Hitler before the elections. Crazy.
Hitler.
In the Netherlands, where it's locking down even tighter. The whole of the EU, in essence, wants to
extract your daughter while you can.
Yes. Well, you know, yes. You know, she's 31 years old. I can't just tell her what to do, but she is making considering type noises.
The youths,
because this is what's going on. This is the city of Eindhoven, and they've got the giant voice system out.
Oh, I love that thing.
And this is so I had to cut this up. This is a guy who works from home, like everybody now, because, you know, this thing is it's extremely nocturnal, very dangerous. So you can't go out at night, and everyone's been asked to work from home as much as possible. He says, I can't work. Every 15 minutes, this thing goes off in multiple languages. Here's English.
Welcome to the city of Eindhoven. To prevent the virus from spreading, we stay 1.5 meters from each other. Together, we will get coronavirus under control.
I can't even believe that's a real government thing. And I love the accent. Together, we will get corona under control.
Under control.
Under control.
Hello, please keep 1.5 meters from each other. Remember to wear your mouth box. And together, we will get corona under control. Welcome to the city of Eindhoven. Thank you.
Just about what he said.
the UK health minister, all in on everything. Love these guys. He's a sly little devil. He slipped something in here. His name is what is his name? Sajid Javid. Listen to what he slipped in here.
JCVI published its advice in the last hour. First, it advised that the minimum dose interval for booster jabs should be halved from 6 months to 3 months. Second.
What? Yeah, booster jabs now required after 3 months, not 6 months, 3 months.
And so every 3 months, you're supposed to get another shot?
What's your number? What's your number, people? What's your number? How many boosts? 2, 3? But it's not even boosts anymore. You'll hear it.
First, it advised that the minimum dose interval for booster jabs should be halved from 6 months to 3 months. Second, that the booster program should be expanded to include all remaining adults aged 18 and above. Third, that these boosters should be offered by age group in a descending order to protect those who are most vulnerable to the virus. So priority will be given to older adults and people over 16 who are at risk. Fourth, that severely immunosuppressed people aged 16 or above who've received 3 primary doses should now also be offered a booster dose.
Did you hear it?
No.
3 primary doses. Not 2, oh, okay. Not 2 and okay. A boost, 3 primary doses, and you get a booster. We're now up to 4.
That severely immunosuppressed people aged 16 or above who've received 3 primary doses should now also be offered a booster dose.
So you got 2 primary and a booster. That is now just all of a sudden technically become 3 primary doses.
Finally, that children aged between 12 and 15 should be given a second dose 12 weeks from the first dose.
Let's get the kids.
I have accepted this advice in full. With this new variant on the offensive, these measures will protect more people more quickly and make us better protected as a nation.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Wait. He said, I've accepted these.
Yes.
He accepted them. Well, he accepted it was what?
It was these four recommendations.
From whom?
Oh, from the public, the health service. From the science.
The science.
From science, man. Why do you ask?
From the drug companies.
Science. Yes, that's science. Hello, science. So now I have, I'm kind of wrapping it down. We need to look at the other side. I mean, we totally have our own mass formation thing going on. We can't believe there's mandates. We can't believe any of this is the stuff that we've been joking about, conspiratorially speaking, for 15 years. Now it's really happening with FEMA camps. All right. They're called quarantine hotels. It's better marketing. We need to understand how people think about this, how the liberal intellectual elites speak of these things. And I have a fine example from Kara Swisher and Professor Scott Galloway. Together they do
your favorite.
This is my hate listen. I love to listen to them and hate them.
You keep following through with it.
Of course.
I admire you for this.
Well, you can't get any liberal intellectual elites truly on MSNBC. There's just, you know, it's just diarrhea of blah, blah.
You can drop the
needle on that and fill an hour worth of clips. So to get it from these guys, and so this kind of evolved around Silicon Valley. This is much more targeted around Silicon Valley and the fact that some employees at Google have signed a petition and they don't want the mandates. They think it's not okay. So what do you how do we think these elites will feel about these people?
Yeah. I feel like Kramer feels.
It's a very dicey political issue. You know, everybody sort of had it with going back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, it just adds fuel to the fire of the crazies who are like, now they're going to keep us, you know, under their thumb.
That's us, John. We're the crazies.
These different variants, etc. Moderna and Pfizer are racing to provide an Omicron specific booster by early next year. I just got the regular booster. Meanwhile, hundreds of Google.
I just got the regular booster. She can't wait for the Omicron booster. I just got the regular booster. I can't wait. Oh, the new booster. Oh, a new booster I can look for. I'm going to put in my calendar.
We're racing to provide an Omicron-specific booster by early next year. I just got the regular booster. Meanwhile, hundreds of Google employees signed a manifesto protesting the company's vaccine mandate. People are getting, you know, they're sort of, oh, someone at the party told me they were over COVID. I was like, okay. I didn't know what to say. I just moved on.
Someone at the party said they were so over COVID. And I just said, okay, I just moved on. I didn't know what to say to that woman. I didn't know what to say. I mean, it's just crazy. How can you be like that? It's over. Jeez.
I didn't know what to say. I just moved on. At this holiday party. So what do you think? At the start of the pandemic, we talked about contact tracing and testing as a primary means to fight this. Now the hope is for better vaccines. So what does the Google News say, though, that people don't want vaccine mandates? They also don't want to go back to work, et cetera, et cetera. I know people think that Silicon Valley is liberal. It is not.
Oh, this is a revelation. So the people at Google who have signed a manifesto against mandates. So these are Republicans, you think? Or is
no, wait, play what
she's
what
saying.
Say?
She's saying people think Silicon Valley is liberal, but it's not, she says. It's not.
Google knows say, though.
Well, I know what she's. From her perspective, she thinks the current crop is not, you know, radical enough. And, but she also goes back a while because before the internet boom and the social media takeover, the Silicon Valley was always seen as somewhat conservative, even though they keep putting Democrats in the House.
Oh, yeah. Well, during Obama, you recall that everybody was handing, all the CEOs were handing out Ayn Rand books. Atlas Shrugged.
Right. That was that moment where they were very Republican-ish, and it stems from the early days from HP and the chip companies. the Intels, the Texas Instruments, Motorola's, which a lot of them moved to Texas, but they tended to be a little bit, they tend to be very Republican, the chip makers. And that's, to me, is still the real Silicon Valley. And the software guys became the Democrats, and they kind of took over the place.
Well,
Google, anti-gun nuts, and people like John Doerr is extremely
Democrat. So Google, you would think that just wouldn't be a lot. I mean, it's just blanket for her. You know, she's just like, well, and by the way, she says manifesto. You know, it could have been a petition. I wonder if it's a manifesto. Is it really kind of like a terrorist manifesto?
Or, it seems unlikely.
You know what I'm saying? It was probably just a petition, but let's call it a manifesto.
What do you think? At the start of the pandemic, we talked about contact tracing and testing as a primary means to fight this. Now, the hope is for better vaccines. So what is the Google News say, though, that people don't want vaccine mandates? They also don't want to go back to work, et cetera, et cetera. I know people think that Silicon Valley is liberal. It is not. I don't know why people keep saying that, just because they are nice.
I think it's more
people.
Libertarian than liberal.
Exactly. Right, exactly.
I think it's liberal when it's convenient.
In 1980.
I know people think that Silicon Valley is liberal. It is not. I don't know why people keep saying that, just because they are nice.
It's more libertarian
people.
Than liberal.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
No.
I think it's liberal when it's convenient. It's libertarian when they don't want to pay taxes.
They're not. They're just not.
What's the total employee base of Google? I mean, it's tens of thousands.
People take cues.
But my sense is people, I saw the story and I thought, well, to me, this is more validation that people are fine with the vaccine mandate if they could only get a couple hundred people to sign this thing at Google.
Yeah, that's true. It wasn't very good.
To me, it's more like, well, that means, you know, 22,000 didn't. And I imagine everyone heard about it and could have signed it. I think this reflects a society where there are people who get to protest and people who get healthcare.
Yeah.
Get healthcare. What is that? Why is he flipping out and laughing? There are people who protest and people who get healthcare.
You know, 22,000 didn't. And I imagine everyone heard about it and could have signed it. I think this reflects a society where there are people who get to protest and people who get healthcare.
Oh, I see. Oh, it's like you're so privileged. You're a privileged little bitch. You get to protest. You get health care, not like poor people. Oh, my God.
A society where there are people who get to protest and people who get health care and people who get to take the Google bus and people who can think big thoughts and talk about how important progressive values are. And then people in the middle of the state are like, well, isn't that nice that you have these big liberal thoughts after you get rich?
Yeah.
Whereas
liberal. These are more like, no, nobody touches my body. Kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I saw this as validation.
Well, hold on a second.
Oh yeah. This is a bad thing. Nobody touches my body. Oh, now that's a dumb thing all of a sudden? Versus just yesterday in the Supreme Court discussion of Roe v. Wade. I found that to be a great little bit.
Well, I also find it interesting that she's so preoccupied with this.
I know why. Her mom is a Fox News junkie and refuses everything. She's mentioned it a few times.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
So
that.
She can't believe that her family are idiots like these dipshits.
And people who get health care and people who get to take the Google bus and people who can think big thoughts and talk about how important progressive values are. And then people in the middle of the state are like, well, isn't that nice that you have these big liberal thoughts after you get rich?
Yeah.
Whereas a lot
these aren't liberal. Know, these are more like, no, nobody again, touches my body kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I saw this as validation of the vaccines. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. People in Silicon Valley confuse me politically. So who knows why they're doing it? They just sometimes just like to do things. You're right. It's a small group of people. It is. It just is. Just like with everything else. They're very, I would say.
And here Galloway has convinced her. Oh, you're right. They're just a bunch of assholes.
They're doing it. They just sometimes just like to do things. You're right. It's a small group of people. It is. It just is. Just like with everything else. They're a very, I would say, a very non-political group of people and late to the point of laziness. As long as you give them dry cleaning and snacks, they just type away. And so I don't expect
talk
much.
About
I don't
a
find
stereotyping.
From
talk about unreasonable and somewhat sick stereotyping. She should be one to be stereotyping people like that.
I know. 8 seconds left.
People late to the point of laziness, as long as you give them dry cleaning and snacks, they're usually mm-hmm. just type away. And so I don't expect I don't find them to be leaders from a societal perspective or a political perspective. So I don't mm-hmm. know, whatever. They can yammer on us. And they love to yammer. They're yammerers of the highest degree. You're right.
There you go. Well done, Professor.
She yammers.
Yeah, she's the yammerer.
First she says, I could yammer about this. When she says, I could yammer about this, what she wanted to say was, I could yammer about this forever.
Yeah.
But she stopped herself when she said the word yammer and threw it at them.
Yes. Yeah, it's called projection.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so not one single thought that maybe someone has an actual concern or
no,
a valid reason.
There's only one way of thinking, and that's their way of thinking. Him and
then, they're just yammerers. They're not even political. They're just lazy. They're just a-holes. I mean,
as long as they get their dry cleaning.
Yeah, that's it. So I just listen to these people. I'm like, man, I cannot believe.
Arrogant,
you're doing that.
Patronizing.
Yeah. Let me see.
Well, I've got a couple more.
Yeah, I was thinking you probably do.
Let's see. I had the Omni. Here's a Ohio symptoms report. This is another one about the symptoms. The symptoms, which we now know is just the common cold symptoms, but now we can't play it that way. Let's go to Ohio and one of the local news stations.
Dr. Anoop Kanodia practices family medicine at Ohio Health and Kanodia MD. He says the symptoms of the Omicron variant differ from symptoms we look for in other COVID strains.
The symptoms are different. So if you're looking for COVID-19 symptoms, alpha, beta, delta, you're going to miss it. These symptoms are sore muscles, tiredness, not feeling well, slight cough. Here's the difference also. There's no loss of smell or taste. So if you're looking for that loss of smell or taste, you're going to miss the boat.
Kanodia says researchers are seeing people that already had a previous variant of COVID-19 can be reinfected with the new Omicron variant.
Oh, my goodness. Where did they get all that information from? Reinfected?
Anything can happen.
They have different symptoms.
Let's go to this one. This is actually a good one because we've got another example. And by the way, I have a third example, which I didn't clip for this show. I'll clip it in the future because I think I can come up with one of these every. This is back to NPR. This is COVID Rundown. And here's another guy who sounds, and it's not the same guy because that other guy's name was David.
Oh, wait. There's another sound alike?
Another Corbett.
Another James Corbett sound. Corbett should start getting royalties for this.
He should. I'm starting to see this. It's an archetype, mm-hmm. and I'm hearing it. I'm not seeing it. I'm hearing it all over the place. And here's another one, and it's not the same as the other guy was David. This guy's Jesse or something. And let's play this COVID Rundown. This is the NPR new guy.
The World Health Organization says more than 200 cases of the Omicron variant of COVID have now been reported from 23 countries. And here Jason Bobian reports, the WHO says it's still too early to tell how problematic this new strain of the virus will be.
WHO epidemiologist Maria Van Kerkhove says there's still a lot that's not known about the Omicron variant of COVID, and scientists are frantically trying to find those answers. In the meantime, the world is tallying hundreds of thousands of new cases of the Delta strain every day. And Van Kerkhove says the most important thing that can be done right now is to ramp up measures to stop any transmission of COVID.
So everything that we can do for Delta, which is dominant worldwide, needs to be applied and strengthened for Omicron.
She says that doesn't have to mean blanket lockdowns, but rather increased use of masks, testing, and most important, increased vaccination in parts of the world where rates continue to be low. Jason Bobian, NPR News.
No, it's not as James Corbetty as the other guy.
It's pretty close.
Hey, I got a boots on the ground report from Africa.
Okay.
This is actually a well-known family, the Travelicious family. Boots on the ground report from Africa. I'm a big time fan and listener. We're a permanent traveling family with my wife and three kids of 1, 3, and 5 years old. Excuse me. While driving, my wife does her things on Insta at the Travelicious family, and I am listening to the show. Last 2 years, traveling was challenging, but of course, there are always countries open. Last year, we were in South Africa, Botswana, Namibia. with an overlander truck. And after visiting Iceland and Costa Rica and Curacao, we're back in East Africa. Right now, we're traveling through Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, and are headed to Rwanda in the truck. And this is, I mean, it's these kids, they're going to have, what an adventure of a lifetime. I mean, the pictures are phenomenal to see what they're doing. It's really cool. I know Africa pretty well. I can tell you they're not busy with Corona at all. He's Dutch, so some of the grammar's off. The Omicron thing is not in the news here. No one's bothered by it. Because compared to malaria, dengue, and yellow fever, no one cares. For an unjabbed and pretty skeptical corona person, Tanzania was the best country. There were no masks at all, no vaccine mandates, no one's talking about it. We visited a hospital for our son, and the doctors didn't have masks or gloves, and they just shook your hand when you came in. Pretty surreal, but also very relaxing. This is Wouter van Diepen and the Travelicious family. Check him out, Travelicious family on Instagram. And of course, now that he's told us that about Tanzania, I'd put them on deck. I'd say that Tanzania will be next to have it. Yeah, Tanzania is going to have some kind of sanctions, special sanctions for them.
Something's got to happen. They can't, you can't do that.
No. You hear about,
I have my,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I have my last COVID clip, which is COVID. This is the LA sheriff. This is the same guy who said the LA sheriff, this sheriff's department, he said, no, we're not going to do mandates. We're not firing half our police force because of some mandate. We're just not going to do it. Now what are you going to do about it? Nobody did anything about it. So here's his latest.
Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva said their department will not be working with a genetics firm for COVID-19 testing due to its links to China. In a letter to the Los Angeles Board of Supervisors on Monday, Villanueva said the FBI informed him that Fulgent Genetics had strong ties to the Chinese Academy of Medical Sciences, which is controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. He wrote, I was even more shocked to learn Fulgent made no attempt to disguise the fact they will use the genetic information obtained in future studies. According to Fulgent's website, they may disclose de-identified patient information for general research purposes with third parties like universities, hospitals, other laboratories, and commercial collaborations with private companies. Villanueva said the department will continue using their current system and will not associate themselves to Fulgent. In a statement to Fox LA, the LA County supervisor said the county's contract with Fulgent prohibits disclosure of info without county's permission, but will take immediate action if there's a credible threat.
Hey, man, was that a robot voice reading that?
This is, I hate to say that, you know, NTD actually has a good news rundown.
Yeah, but that's got, but that, they, that was not okay.
They got, she's no good. And they actually, the main news reader who is a woman is like a flubmeister. And it's always at the first, one of the first two sentences of every single read, she makes a massive flub.
A flubmeister. It's a term I haven't heard in a while. Yeah. I haven't heard the term in a while, but I just say very, it's a good word. It's a valid term. Absolutely. I got two more here. This is, so if you want to know how to get stuff done and you don't like the mandates, well, you can always act like these two countries.
Well, for more, I'm joined by our foreign affairs editor, Philip Turrell. Philip, what would greater autonomy really mean for Guadeloupe?
So what we're talking about here, Kate, is just that. We're not talking about independence for Guadeloupe or for Martinique. What the French government is saying is, after meeting with officials from Guadeloupe and Martinique, that they are willing to consider letting them have more of a say in how those territories are run. Now, just to remind on viewers, both Martinique and Guadeloupe are French overseas territories, but they depend on mainland France. They're governed from mainland France. And one of the bones in contention here is that mainland France is imposing measures on the population of Guadeloupe to begin with these COVID tests that they don't agree with. And that has led to this explosion of violence, COVID tests for medical workers and COVID tests for firefighters. So I think this is a message from the French authorities. Yes, we have heard what you're saying, and yes, we are now willing to give greater autonomy to Guadeloupe and Martinique in exchange for an end to all this unrest that we've seen over the past couple of weeks. But it doesn't mean independence. It still means that the final decisions will be made from Paris, but the officials who are elected in those two territories will have a greater say, for example, in deciding when people should be vaccinated or not, and what decisions are going to be made without having to get a rubber stamp or an agreement automatically from Paris.
You got to look at the pictures of Martinique. There's burned out cars everywhere. This was not just some protest. people got really violent. And so much so that France said, oh, okay, we'll talk about it later. Damn.
Interesting.
Yeah. They're having none of it. They're having none of it.
But good for them.
Let's see. LeBron James not playing a few games due to, quote, health and safety protocols. See, when it's King James, it's not COVID protocols. It's health and safety. So I guess he was exposed, or maybe he caught the coof.
Yeah, you got something.
Yeah. The Ursula von der Leyen, and I have no audio from it, but she is coming out pretty strong. Time to consider mandatory jabs. She wants this passport so bad. And it's almost funny, you know, of all the things that were promised to the people of Europe, I was there. We're going to make the European Union. We'll all have the same money. That's going to be great. Now you have negative 5% interest rates. And you won't need a passport except this handy thing with this QR code, which you'll be able to use everywhere as kind of like a passport. Here we go. Samsung, we followed which companies or which organizations were trying to get some universal vaccine passport infrastructure up and running. And it looks like the Commons Project, which we mentioned before, it looks like they may be pulling ahead. Now Samsung is building the vaccine certificate, vaccine pass into its phones. So when you get it right there, right away, you can sign up. And the Commons Project is a nonprofit. It's based in Switzerland, funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. So that would make sense that those guys would be pulling ahead. And in Michigan,
stop buying Samsung phones if they're going to do this.
Oh yeah, the people are stupid. I just to tug at the heartstrings. My last clip in this sequence is the latest public service announcement from the Michigan Health and Human Services Division, using children to remind children to get vaccinated.
Can I ask you a question? Why do you want to get the COVID-19 vaccine?
I don't like getting sick.
The virus will die.
It will be easy to not catch it.
Keep my family safe and keep playing soccer.
Because I love being vaccinated.
What's your hope for everyone?
I hope everybody gets the vaccine
to keep safe and strong.
Be like happy, having fun everywhere.
Everyone stay safe and hope you get the vaccine.
I mean, it makes me want to cry.
It's pathetic.
And you laughed at exactly the ISO.
Because I love being vaccinated.
I mean, come on, people. That's really, really harsh.
And it's also a lie, because there's no kid in the world that
loves that being vaccinated.
They don't like shots.
No, but it's so sad. We have an entire generation of children, a whole segment, who have been taught that without the shot, you can't play outside, you can't be with your friends. No parent will say you're going to die, but you can't do it. You need this to do it. It's just, did you have a 3x3, by the way? I'm so sorry. We didn't even talk about it.
I did have a 3x3.
You want to still roll?
Well, sure.
And now it's time for 3x3. Experiment by JCD. Comparing stories from ABC, CBS, and NBC. The never-ending 3x3.
That's right, every Thursday, the first Thursday of the week, John C. Dvorak checks out the Big 3 morning shows on the Big 3 networks and lets us know what's going on. What are you learning, John?
Well, the first thing, the themes are starting to really coalesce, and the CBS is really on the ropes. But let's start with what we have. I mean, and ABC is the number one of the three morning shows, and it's really obvious. Because they just kick ass. They start off with they really do. I mean, even though they had a mundane little subsegment, but they did like four things while everyone else was doing one boring thing. So let's start with ABC. They start with the renewable flu.
Youth.
Having nothing but trouble today.
The
youths and the F's and the flus.
Youth
so the
flu.
Renewable fuel, it was a big topic of conversation. They want to have more refineries, so we turn more food into fuel. And it was a big deal. If you remember, we did a story on the pipelines that they're trying to set up to do carbon sequestration.
Yes.
There's like 19 refineries already in one state, but we need more? I don't think so.
Well, they know the money's coming. The money has already been announced. That was the $1.2 trillion money coming. That's exactly what this is for. Get it set up. We foolishly did not get a piece of the pipeline, you and me.
No, we didn't. So they cut to a segment that was like, oh, please. Exercise is good for your health. Stop the presses. Then they cut to a promo for Nevada, which was obviously bought and paid for. And somebody took a ride. I didn't know they had this ride, but they now have a hang glider ride or something where they strap you onto some. It's like when you slide down a rope into like the water,
like a bungee jump, zip line type.
No, it's not a jump. It's on a overhead track where you're sliding and you're like Superman.
Yeah, this is a zip line.
A zip line. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
There's a zip line that goes right down Main Street in Las Vegas with that overhead lights and all this stuff.
No way.
Yeah, and there's a million people have already taken this trip. The whole street.
That sounds like a good ride, actually.
They showed the whole ride because one of the people was on it. One of the girls was taking the ride, and it looked terrific.
And now, by yourself? Were you in a little cart? Yeah.
No, just you.
And you got like the helmet and the harness and all?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah, I'd love to do that. It's like,
and you get to wave at the people when you go shooting by them. Down on the street.
Wow. Can you drop stuff?
Well,
flyers. Stickers. No agenda stickers. No agenda. There you go.
Business cards.
Yeah.
And so they cut right from that to a special on some weasel playing in the snow. It was very cute. So it was a lively segment.
I'm kind of thinking I want to see that segment. Yes.
It was worth it. So yeah. then you went to NBC, they had a WISH in Atlanta, Sneaker Culture. The store is called WISH. It's a sneaker store. And they went on and on about sneakers and how they sell for a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, and they had a woman who owned the store. And they said, what makes a good sneaker was the question. And she said, and I just shook my head. She said, the story behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Everything is. Yeah.
Sure. That's what I believe. That. Yeah,
that's right.
And then they, for a quick hit, they had Michael Jordan for 1 second to say, what is the best sneaker that as far as he's concerned, he thinks that the sneaker that made it all happen and the collectibles
is the Air. There? The original Air.
No, the MJ 11.
Oh. Mm.
Then finally we get to the depressing CBS and they go on with Mahershala Ali live in some show called Die in Motion, the Swan Song, the movie. And they're talking about die in motion and how that's important to die. When you're going to die, you want to die in motion. And then they talked about the movie and all the people in the set, Gail included with her. I realized that Gail has got to go. She's got a downer voice. Everything she says.
Everything is very demure with her.
It's down. It's in a lower key and a lower. Oh, yes. Well, Adam, I mean, it's just very depressing to listen to her. And they're all going, bravo, bravo, because of this guy.
Bravo?
Bravo, bravo, they said when they talked about Swan Song, the movie, and it's about dying. And it was just CBS stinks.
Bummer.
Ah. And that's my report.
Well, I thank you for that. This happens on the first Thursday of every show week where we bring you the 3x3. To accentuate your admiration for ABC, I have to say the promo they put together for the interview.
Yeah.
The interview with Alec Baldwin.
It was the promo
I got to play it. I have it here. It is so good. This is styled. This is lit.
It was right. You have to mention, since we don't have the visuals are just noir. They're beautiful.
Red cam. It's got to be red cam. It was unbelievable. It was film quality. Alec Baldwin is lit beautifully to accentuate the bags of, you know, from all the crying.
A lot of bags.
Stephanopoulos, looks really smart and really knowledgeable and just clean. Clean cut, all American dwarf. Sorry for all short people, but that guy's attitude doesn't match the rest. And I've got to play it, because once you put it all together with the music and you can just close your eyes and imagine, it's truly a work of art.
She was someone who was loved by everyone who worked with and liked by everyone who worked with and admired. I mean, even now, I find it hard to believe that. It just doesn't seem real to me.
You haven't said much in public since that tragic accident. Why speak out now? I think the big question, and the one you must have asked yourself a thousand times, how could this have happened? You described it as a 1 in a trillion shot, and the gun was in your hand. How do you come to terms with that? It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So you never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never.
What did you think happened? How did a real bullet get on that set?
I have no idea. Someone put a live bullet in a gun, a bullet that wasn't even supposed to be on the property.
How do you respond to actors like George Clooney who say that every time they were handed a gun, they checked it themselves? Your emotions are so clearly so right there on the surface. You felt shock. You felt anger. You felt sadness. Do you feel guilt? You said you're not a victim, but is this the worst thing that's ever happened to you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because I think back and I think of what could I have done.
Alec Baldwin, Unscripted, the newsmaking special event, tomorrow night at 8, 7 Central on ABC, and stream on Hulu.
I'm rock hard from that guy. Listen, stream on Hulu. This will be one of the biggest stories of the year. They are going to, that was scored, I think. I don't think that was stock music. That was a scoring job.
Could be. Would make sense.
They are going to play, this has all the elements. They even have Clooney in the movie. I mean, it's not really in the movie, but they have Clooney in the story. They got everything.
I like the way you say it was a movie, because you're already affected by it.
I said it on purpose.
Production.
Is a huge production. And it's got the mystery. How did the gun go off without him pulling the trigger? Oh, come on. We really have to believe this? Do you believe that?
How does the gun go off? Well, if it was a remote controlled gun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, but this is when you say stuff like that.
I bought a remote controlled gun the other day.
But when you say stuff like, oh no, I would never point a gun at someone and pull a trigger, and I didn't pull the trigger, yet somehow this bullet got in and fired, that's a massive story. Where's the gun experts on ABC? Where are the forensic experts? Where are there's so much. It's just been, he didn't pull the trigger. This is the story. The media will kill themselves on this story.
Well, they're going to have some fun with it.
Yeah, that's for sure. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage and say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the strain change. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Mr. John C. Dvorak.
In the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. Also in the morning, I ships the sea blue cinematography in the air, so is the water. Dames and ice out there.
And in the morning to the trolls in the troll room. Let's see how many we got here today. Trolls, hands up. Let me count y'all. Okay, we have 2145 in the troll room at trollroom.io. The all-time record is 2602.
Yeah.
This has now been... Our producer who maintains the actual troll count number used to send spreadsheets. Now he just sends a post-it note with and takes a screenshot of it and said, this is the number. Because he knows
he sent that to me specifically because
your post-it note needed refresher.
I don't have post-it notes for it. I have the little round stickers that stick up on the thing there. I can take a picture of it someday.
Yeah,
and it doesn't have the 2602 is not up there. I'm going to have to.
Okay, well, that's the new update. But anyway, it's good to see you. Well over 2K trolls. We got a 2K troll day. We love that. They're at trollroom.io, and it's rowdy in there today. It's kind of fun. You're getting a lot of karmas.
Fight.
Trollroom.io. You can listen to any show live that is playing on noagendastream.com all across Gitmo Nation. It's all talk, no commercials, no agenda. And you can be part of it. You can do a show. You can troll along. You can be a lurker, anything you want. Or you can become an active participant in the conversation on Mastodon. We have noagendasocial.com. That is a federated social network, which is perfect because it has all the benefits of a social network without the algorithms. None of these instances should have any algorithms running on them. You can join anywhere. Mastodon services are offered and the people are not dicks. You can join and then follow us because that's the beauty of being federated. Some people don't want to see our posts, so they can block that. And that's good because you probably don't want to be part of their club either. But there is a significant overflow. It's fun to watch. So you can follow John C. Dvorak at noagendasocial.com or Adam at noagendasocial.com. And as soon as you do, we'll start sending some flow your way. It's how the Fediverse rolls. Finally, we get to utter the words, congratulations, Roger Roundy, for scoring the art for episode 1403. That was the show from Sunday. We titled that In Silico, a new term we learned. Like in vitro, in vivo, it's in silico, yeah. Which means
you think we know it,
it's a bullshit model. It lives in the computer. It's PHP, man. It's in silico.
PHP.
Roger Roundy, famous artist. We have many famous artists.
We have a lot of famous artists.
We do. Roger Roundy has been looking to score for a while, and it was nice having him as a part of the community. Now that he won the album art, we don't expect him to ever do a piece again.
This is our theory.
Pretty much.
He's just one of these guys. I know the type. Because I'm kind of, you know, you get your award and you're done. It's like, what do I need to be here anymore for?
Yeah. Exactly.
So, I mean, I think he's like competitive, so it shows he's competitive.
You know what happens? Once you win the award, then you're only being brought back to hand one out.
Right.
And it gets annoying.
Yeah. And so you don't get another one. Mm-hmm. And, but, I mean, you can win it. On this, we've seen people streak. I mean, Martin JJ, I think, still holds a record for like 20 in a row or some outrageous number. And then he retired.
Mm-hmm.
He
smart.
Couldn't take it anymore.
He retired at the top of his game.
And he's never been able to get back in. I think he got one, maybe a lone piece, and he gave up.
I think
but
he
Roundy,
changed jobs.
He's one of those guys that hit. He's a hit. Hit and run. He hits, boom, done.
So yeah, that's right.
See any more
wham, bam. Yeah,
him.
Wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
Now, this piece that he probably
leave the chat room. He won't even listen to the show anymore.
The piece that he delivered, which we chose, had so many perfect elements. One, the sweeping of the Omicron rat. It had a little bit of cheesecake with the skirt and the legs. It popped like crazy. He had black and blue and red and white and then the and the white background is do not do this, but it always curries favor with me because then it becomes part of the page instead of an image on the page.
Yeah,
I like that. That's my personal.
We don't do it.
So it's not a regular
diet.
No, we don't.
The piece that I liked a lot, but we didn't consider it, which is the Omicron Devil from Nestworks. I used as a for the newsletter.
Which one was that?
But in the meantime, I got a nasty note from Nestworks.
Well, hold on. Which one from Nestworks? Oh, the Omicron Devil. Yes.
Yeah, it's a nice piece.
Okay, you got a nasty gram?
Yeah. He says I hate him.
Well, okay. Well, did he say why?
Well, no. Well, not really. He kind of said that I dissed him or something, or I bitched about something he did, or I don't know. He was
this must be related to turkey art.
I bet you it does, because he really, I think he liked that piece. You liked that piece, which was the turkey with all the stuff.
Oh, yeah, with all the words in it.
Yeah, that's gobble gobble.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And I said, I forgot what I said.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you hate him?
No, I think I told him I didn't even want to get into a debate with him because it wasn't even worth the trouble. I said, look, I said, I said, look, you're one of the, now it's true. If you look at his body of work, he's one of the top two, three, four, probably top three artists we have, period. His stuff is just extremely good and consistently so.
Yeah.
And so I said, that's all there is to it. I mean, I don't have any beef with you. I never got mad. It's bullcrap.
Yeah, but sometimes I've noticed this, and this happens with me all the time, particularly on and No Agenda Social, where someone will say something snarky and I'll go like, you know, F you, or whatever. You know, it's just what you say. It's, that's what it's for. And then I'll hear 2 years later, no, Adam hates me. What? What? No, hate is a big word. I also like the Tante Neal collect them all the different.
Yeah, you liked that piece and I didn't.
No.
Now, don't say I'm not mad at Tante Neal.
No, you're sure? Because, and maybe you just hate women.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But the collect them all piece, the reason I didn't like it, it was like, well,
yeah, what was the reason?
I'm looking at it now. Yeah, the no agenda thing is a little small at the top. And
yeah, that's true.
A, B, A, Y. I mean, it was like,
yeah, it wasn't
alpha, beta, something.
It was missing some. It was missing
Omicron.
Now, the one that we discussed, which did not fit in the show, which was another roundy piece, actually, was the woke side story. We didn't do the.
Oh, the woke side story was quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that piece.
Because Stephen Sondheim passed away, and so
yeah, Sondheim died. He got the vaccine, then died.
And so, what's always fun is when a great artist like that, because he was an artist, of course, and what he created art. When someone like that dies, the first thing you want to do is excoriate them. I mean, that's always really nice.
So I mentioned on the No Agenda Social, I said, when did he get vaccinated? He got vaccinated. It was a big deal when he got vaccinated. And it was in March.
Yeah.
And somebody says, you think maybe because he really died because he's old?
Yeah, 92. 91 or 92. Yeah.
91, okay, yeah. Well, 92 maybe. Yeah. But whatever the case, I keep hearkening back, and I did some more research on it, to the time that all those people died in the Norwegian old folks home. And they made the commentary, you should not give the vaccine to anyone over 80.
Yes.
Do you remember this?
Yes. Was it Norway or Denmark?
Norway. I'm pretty sure it was Norway. You can look it up.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now.
But you're going to find it's Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And so assertion that you shouldn't give the vaccine to anyone over 80 really was pulled back fast, even though it killed half the people in these old folks home. And some of the write-ups I was going to talk about one today. I'm not going to do it, but some of the write-ups are very biased insofar as, it's bull crap, you know, and only 55 died.
That was the Red Stapler guy.
Yeah. What's his name? Yeah, we use this Red Stapler. I don't know why they're going to get me. I'm going to burn the place down if they take away my stapler.
You're so good at that. You nailed that.
So there was, that was completely, it was, it's like the vaccine companies just paid these writers to poo-poo the idea that you shouldn't get the vaccine over 80. It was no big deal that half these people were dead.
Mm-hmm.
I should find that article and that.
How did we get on this? How did we get on this from the art? I'm confused. I've lost, lost the plot.
No, because I went and talked about Sondheim and the
okay. All right. So I think that if Dreb Scott is like, I know he's making chapters right now. Okay, well, what art do I show now? He's just spin the wheel, man. Just show it. You can only see that if you have a brand new and a proper podcast app. Get yours now at newpodcastapps.com. Give it a try. Yeah.
Comic strip bloggers, No Agenda presents Omicron coming soon to a body near you. It's not bad. It's a good piece.
Yes.
Right next to Woke Side Story.
Yes. Honorary mention. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dvorak. Next time, choose me, my Polish. Slavic brother. My Slavic brother.
He's Polish. Good man.
All right. No Agenda ArtGenerator.com is where you can see all of these beautiful pieces of art. You can contribute yourself. It's part of the time, talent, and treasure, the three T's of the value for value model. You probably noticed there's no commercials. There's no creepy money here from China or corporations or anything. It's just the producers who keep it running in oh so many ways, like having fresh album art every. I talked about, hey man, I'm sure you didn't see my appearance on Jack Murphy, did you?
No. I don't even know what Jack Murphy is.
Oh, Jack Murphy? Oh, he's pretty popular. Jack, he's had a storied career, but he was running, I think, a charter school, and he had some old tweets from 10 years ago where he's just harping on something. And he got doxxed and he got kicked out, and he got woke fired overnight, and he's kind of struggled.
Woke fired.
Yeah, he's kind of, that when you see him, you're like, oh, that guy. He has a very distinct beard. One of those beard only type dudes, but real bushy. No, okay, you don't know. Anyway, we talked a lot about No Agenda and the value for value model. You would have been proud of me.
Yeah, but that's the show I didn't hear.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Doesn't that make nothing but sense?
Yeah.
If there's nothing to complain about, I probably won't catch it.
There you go. All right, everybody. Let's thank our executive producers and associate executive producers for episode 1404.
But, as you can see, I do have something to say before we thank the first one that's on that list.
Well, these are the producers who come in with the real treasure. Although all treasure is appreciated, and in return, they get a special credit, executive producer or associate executive producer. It's exactly like Hollywood. So if somehow during this show, you, executive producer, if somehow the gun goes off without me pulling the trigger and John is killed, you are being sued. So
that's the way it works.
Congratulations. It's real, man.
If you can make a shot that distance. We had on the last show, we had a $3,333.33 donation with no note.
Oh, do we have a note?
And a note in it said there's a note coming.
Yes.
So that $3,333.33 donation has a note now from Sir Captain Trev, who's now a captain. I sent 333333333 via credit card on Thanksgiving to the show. My gratefulness for the No Agenda show. I was hit in the mouth in August and soon after became a douchebag. Please use this donation to de-douche me.
You've been de-douched.
So he is he wants to be knighted Sir Captain Trev.
What is his name? Because I need to have that too.
I don't have his name. He left his name off.
So it's Trevor then.
Yes, Trevor.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, it is Trevor. We just leave him at Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
Knight me, Sir Captain. And it's okay. Get your pen out.
Okay.
Sir, it's not Captain. It's Cap'n. It's CAPT'N.
Okay. So Captain
Trev.
Okay.
But then he's going to get upgraded because he's actually an Insta-Baron.
Okay.
Request. Miller High Life, the champagne, this for the round table. Miller High Life, the champagne of beers.
Yes.
That's true. A moniker.
That's true.
That's what it says.
Yeah, it is the champagne of beers. We all know it. We all know it. It's not like that swill that you drink, that Pabst Blue Ribbon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That the Pabst Blue Ribbon is the Prosecco of beers.
The Pabst Blue Ribbon guys will be buying these guys out. And fried Chisley.
Chisley?
Well, it's either that or C-H-I-S-L-I-C. Chislik.
Chislik. Chislik.
What's fried Chislik?
I don't know what fried Chislik is, but I want nothing to do with it.
Well, it's the caviar of the Dakotas.
Okay.
Okay, so now he's got some. Now I hate to bring this on.
Some jingles and stuff. Yeah,
you know, it's the Barons get their way.
Of course, he gets a lot of way. A lot of way.
This is not a joke. I don't know. Do we have a clip? This is not a joke.
I think it's. Yeah, we got not a joke. Yep.
Not a joke. I'm going to give you the full load today.
Okay, it's whole load, but okay, that's a common mistake. Yep.
Get vaccinated, no.
Okay, Biden vaccinated. And then that, you know, I should have that no thing and Biden vaccinated as one as one clip by now. But
yeah. You've been saying that for a month.
And a jingle, Karma, I mean.
He says no, doesn't say Karma, but he does say his upgrade is to, his insta-baron is to Baron of the Dakota. So he is actually going to be Captain Trev, Baron of the Dakota Territory.
Of the Dakota Territory.
And then he says at the very end, stay safe.
Not a joke. Think about it.
I'm going to give you the whole load today.
Get vaccinated.
No.
Boom, very easy. Good work.
I like it too. That's good. All right. So we've got that done. And thank you very much for your courage, Trevor. We'll see you at the round table. And I will have the champagne of beers ready for you.
Joe Wheel is next.
Wheel, he's Weil, saying, maybe Weil.
I'm thinking. Weil. Probably W-E-I-L, Weil. It's probably what it, I'm sure it's Weil while we're here. He's in Riggins, Idaho. In the morning to you both. I appreciate your excellent work. Oh, thank you. And he came in with $1,000. Please shout out to my sister, Marion, who switched me on to your show.
All right. Hey, where he switched Marion. From.
Hey, Marion. She is keeping freedom alive in New York City. Go coach. Now she's a coach. Please play the Al Sharpton edit. Thanks, and God bless.
So, Joe. So no knighting or anything for Joe? No request?
I sent him a note.
He has rights. He's got rights, man.
I specifically sent him a note.
Uh-huh.
Do you want a knighting or anything? And I have not. I'm going to go check.
Hmm.
But last time I looked, I have not heard back, so I'm not sure. But I'm going to check now. But as you do the whatever you have to
do. Well, instead of playing the edit, I'll put two clips together. We have a brand new one, of course.
In Kinshasa.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
In Kinshasa.
Just love Rev. Love the Rev. Mike.
I don't see anything.
Yeah. Mike Saliba. No. Mike Saliba. 666.67. Oh, it's the devil with a penny for the jar. Thank you. Adam and John, thank you very much for reading my note regarding my new business, axeheadwatch.shop. Oh, yes, I remember. I remember this producer, axeheadwatch.shop. It was life-changing. We still haven't had time to have a proper grand opening, but our fellow No Agenda producers exceeded our wildest expectation, and many models were sold out in days. These are the wooden watches.
Yeah.
Our fellow producers who use the discount code ITM are responsible for planting 123 trees so far. Yes, the deal is you buy one of these wooden watches and a tree is planted. Since I said I would be basing my future donations on the purchases made by the producers, I'm 666.67 for what at my old job we would have called a two-touch knighthood. Oh, okay. Oh, right. So he becomes a knight today because of this. That's interesting. I guess he becomes a knight. I would like to be Sir Mike of Axe Head Watchmakers, Liberator of Michigan's 9th Congressional District. Okay. For the roundtable, I would like Porterhouse and Pappy Von Winkle. All the sold-out watches have been replenished. Hopefully, we'll start working on making my smoking hot hippie wife, Kelly, a dame. P.S., you two have not selected your free watches yet. Don't be shy. Yes, we're bad at that.
I'm going to do that.
PPS, I also hosted my first meetup in Macomb County last week, but I meant to schedule it for Saturday, accidentally made it a Sunday. I think 7 p.m. was too late on a school night for most people, so there were only three of us. I will try again in January. Well, this is interesting. So
he's not on the list, by the way.
No, so I'm going to have to put him on. But that's interesting. He did so well that he can make this donation from his watches. That's a successful product.
The two of us.
Oh yeah,
we got to start selling product.
Yeah, man, we need some merch. All right, I'm gonna put his stuff in the merch. We have merch. NoAgendaShop.com. That's where all the merch is.
It might as well be there.
Yeah, it's
Richard Altman's next on the list.
Mm-hmm.
He sent in 574, and he's in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Scandinavia.
I sent an email. Okay, good for you. I should be a knight now from Canada, but in the USA Bucks. Check out the McLuhan channel YouTube. YouTube.com McLuhan videos, night name, sir. Okay, he wants to be sir. He's on the list. Surrealist
hey,
of the.
Hey, by the way, Chislik. Yeah. Chislik.
Yeah.
In its purest form, is fried mutton with garlic salt.
Garlic salt.
And with saltines fried on the side.
Garlic salt.
Yes.
Mutton.
Yeah. Yes, mutton. It says it in the Wikipedias. Mutton.
Have you ever had mutton?
Yes, but I've never had Chislik.
No. Well, garlic and okay, just a little cooking tip for people out there. If you really have trouble, it's a lot of people can't even eat lamb for the smell. Mutton is 1,000 times worse.
Yeah, it's like a smelly lamb.
Yeah. Well, lamb is smelly generally. And people should realize that goat is like the... Is like not goat is like a lamb with no smell, doesn't stink at all.
I've had smelly goat and I was very disappointed.
Yeah, it's either old goat, which you shouldn't be eating, or it's goat that's gone bad.
Well, was it an bad goat? It was an Austin restaurant. I have never returned after that goat meal.
Yeah, no, goat should be very mild and incredibly flavorful. Goat is better than lamb. It's just that it doesn't
have. But lamb, you want, don't you want mint jelly with your lamb? Isn't that what you want with your lamb?
No. You want chutney.
Oh, chutney, yeah.
Mint jelly ruins wine. Hello?
Oh, hello. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
You did know. You didn't think about it.
I didn't know that.
Well, mint and wine, I mean, you might as well just, well, you could probably have a beer.
the champagne anyway, or beers.
Just back to the topic. The tip was that if you're going to cook lamb or a lamb, one of those Costco lamb roasts that come from Australia or whatever, lace it with garlic. Mm. Garlic will knock back the lamb, any crappy taste smells. It'll knock the smells back, and it really makes lamb taste a lot better.
The more
so
you know.
Garlic the hell out of it.
All right.
So I can see why this garlic salt was used on the mutton.
All right, back to Richard Altman. I'm sorry for the interruption.
I'm the one who did the interruption. So yeah, Altman, Winnipeg. That's it. Mac and cheese tune, please.
Yeah. So but he's going to be a knight. He'll be Surrealist of the Muddle. But no, well, you know, just wants mac and cheese. All right. Here we go.
You slaves can get used to mac and cheese. Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Cheap macaroni and cheap cheddar melted together.
Mac and cheese. Mac and cheese. Mac and cheese. Mac and cheese. Hey, everybody.
Three.
What is that?
That's the full jingle. I don't know why. John Nunley comes in with 333.33. Bing. In the morning, Adam and John, thank you for what you do. I was hit in the mouth during COVID, and your twice-a-week therapy sessions helped to shrink and soothe my amygdala. Jimbo is a douchebag.
Douchebag.
No jingles, but jobs, karma for all. Bye.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You got karma.
Next on the list. Is a note that came in, and you can tell it's a note.
No, it's a real note.
Mm-hmm. Sir Moses, 333.33.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes, parts unknown, warning, switcheroo.
Uh-oh.
He requests R2-D2 health karma, so that's at the end. Needing health karma, caught COVID, and the Zaverto kit I ordered a month ago never came.
FDA snatched it.
Yeah, they will do that, so they don't care about your health. I reached out to the No Agenda Social Group for advice. I would like to call out glued to the screen as a douchebag.
Douchebag!
For sending me a 40-minute video as quote-unquote help.
Okay. All right. That's horrible.
I would also like to give the donation of 333.33 in honor of Lady Mountain Jay.
Oh, wow. What a nice switcheroo.
Yeah. She's going to be getting the credit for this.
Any reason why?
For providing a succinct set of recommendations, which were easy to follow with a fever of 103. FLCCC Alliance, thank you. Sincerely, Sir Moses.
Yeah, that's the frontline doctors.
Yeah.
All right.
They would be of some use.
Thank you very much.
You've got karma.
Chap Williams from Edmond, Oklahoma, 33333. I don't see a note.
I will look for the note while you read the next list, person on the list.
Okay. It is Lanvi Nguyen, spelled N-G-U-Y-E-N. Lanvi Nguyen from Scottsdale, Arizona. This is our first.
I think it's pronounced Nguyen.
No, it says it right there. Nguyen behind it.
Oh, okay. Nguyen.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a handy pronunciation guide.
I'm doing the email.
I was doing a handy pronunciation guide. I was using it professionally, not saying, oh, look, they told me how to pronounce it. And then you had to blow it. 20202.
Oh, I see what you were trying to do.
I was trying to sound smart. Yes, thanks. You're always undermining me.
Yeah. I'm trying to do my email. You're interrupting.
Lanvi Nguyen, 20202. Beautiful palindrome. Scottsdale, Arizona. Works perfectly with today. On Sunday, you guys briefly discussed supply chain and manufacturing in Vietnam. When John mentioned that he thought labor costs in Vietnam might be a bit higher than in China, but that Vietnam is more competitive with quality and quality control, QC. Yeah. This used to be the case 15 years ago. Vietnam's prices are fairly
That was about when I was there.
Right, which is all of your analysis is about 15 years
old. Yeah, it's all 15 years old. All of it.
Vietnam,
I've been holed up ever since.
Vietnam's prices are fairly comparable these days for non-high-tech manufacturing. Many Chinese factories are exceptional in terms of both cost control and quality control, but are often only cost competitive for orders greater than 5,000 units at minimum. This is some information here, people. What Vietnam is competitive with is providing high quality production with very low quantity requirements for reasonable prices. That's good to know. That said, John is right about Vietnam's sizable population of highly skilled workers and makers who still have the talent to hand produce high-end goods. This very abled infrastructure is what I'm offering up to produce the handcrafted butterfly real silver brooches and rings for the MoFac show. What? Nice.
Cut out, dude.
I'm not familiar with this gift. I've been cut out, dude. There you go. I'm the face of white supremacy of the MoFac show. From a value for value perspective, indeed, Adam, we will love you long time. Starting with my first donation of $3.33 million. Thank you. I love your dong. Roughly $146.66 plus the balance to earn my credential as an associate executive producer. I'm thinking now. Lanvi is a Vietnamese with a sense of humor. Is what I'm getting here. Thank you very much.
When I was in Vietnam, I have to say they all seem to have a good sense of humor. They like Americans, and the literacy rate in Vietnam is what's underexploited. It's like 95% is high. I think it's one of the highest in the world, if not the highest literacy rate.
Yeah, it was. Tina and I have it on our list. You know, we want to do Japan first, and then we definitely want to do Vietnam. But I don't know. I don't know if we're ever gonna. Ever even leave the hill country anymore.
You'll be stuck. Yeah. The way things are going, it's going to be a while.
Just sitting here with my 3.33 million dong.
Yeah, you got 3 million dong. That's something you're a millionaire.
Hey, man, I got some dong. Dong is the new Satoshi. I'm going to throw out a goat karma for you. Thank you very much.
You've got karma.
Well, there's no note from anyone. So. Sir Sean, the Black Knight of the Dude's Name Ben, is up next at $200.64. He wants a Dogs for People 2, Goat Karma, and NA Alphabet by the recent sober drunken minstrel for end of show if you have room. ITM, birthday on a show day, a don't equals donation.
Yay.
I also need Goat Karma for my dog who just had splenectomy. Ooh. Saturday to remove a mass.
Yeah.
We find out in a few days if it's benign or malignant. Photo attached. Thank you.
Wow. Zoom, rotate, enhance. I love me some splenectomy in the morning.
V4V explained. $50 for my first human resources birthday last year. $50.31 for my Miss 31st birthday donation last year. $50.01 for my first human resource first birthday 2 weeks ago. 5032 for my birthday on show day.
Nice.
Thanks. Sure, Sir Sean Black Knight of the dude's name, Ben.
Dogs are people, too.
Oh, yeah, I'll probably play this at the end. This is what he wanted to hear. What the hell is this? Oh, here we go.
Shut up, Slick.
Yeah, I'm going to play that at the end of the show. I got room for it. It's long, but we'll do it.
You've got karma.
It is quite good. And the associate executive producer, last one for the whole list, is Joseph Salashur. $200, a donation from my brother, Alex Salashur. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Jethro Jebediah, you goofy-looking, lanky son of a gun. Please add him to the birthday list. And someone's getting cornhole tonight. And that's true. Jingles, please. So this is his brother. It's very nice of him to, of course, give him a birthday shout-out on the show. But then he's like, and by the way, brother, you're getting cornholed.
Someone's getting cornholed today.
Sounds like a recipe for success to me.
That's true.
Okay. It's nothing like brotherly love on the show.
And that's our last donor, which is a short list today.
It is. Yeah.
For Thursday. But it's what happens when you have a decent show.
But the last show was a decent show? We had a good show?
It was decent.
Mm.
Good. This one here is a little low.
Well, what we always want to do is thank the executive producers and associate executive producers for behaving like as such. You truly are bringing the content, and besides the treasure, you also got good stuff to share with us. And we'll be thanking more people in our second segment. And remember, these credits are completely real. You can use these anywhere that credits are recognized, even in your lawsuit, as you get sued for some gun that went off. If you'd like to be one of these great producers, all you have to do is go to this website, follow some simple instructions.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Thank you again for producing episode 1,404 of the No Agenda Show.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
So I want to read the note that it was received from the actress producer.
Yes, with a correction. Vanessa. So the
Vanessa.
Yes, but I'll just set it up for a second. We were talking about Hamilton, how subpar it is. And that Lin-Manuel Noriega is failing.
It's overrated.
He's overrated. And I think we have some standing. I haven't seen it, so I can say whatever I want about it. And then
I saw the TV version.
And then
which was supposedly a shot, an actual presentation on stage. It wasn't like, you know, remade for TV.
It's the pro shot, as they say. And to which you say, well, do you remember when they kicked Pence out? And I was like, and I, of course, said, I don't think that happened. And you doubled down. You doubled down and said, oh, yeah, they kicked him right out. Like, leave. They stopped the show. Get out. And so we have a correction.
I don't think that happened.
Come on, just get to the correction. We all know.
Okay, so she writes in the, this is a long note. It's not too long, but it's long enough, but it's interesting. In the interest of accuracy, she writes, I wanted to send along the email regarding what you said on the last show about Mike Pence being thrown out of Hamilton. I was at the show sitting about 10 to 12 rows behind Mike Pence and his people. I had house seats because months before I had worked with Tommy Kail, director of Hamilton, on an off-Broadway play at the Signature Theater. I'm an actress, and I know Lin-Manuel, and on an acquaintance level, Lin came to see the show. He was there.
Uh-huh.
I guess it was after he was in the show. And that, I was, it, he, Lin came to see the show I was in that Tommy directed. Oh, I'm sorry. He was I guess that's how
she's still giving her crew credentials.
Yeah, she's giving me a little creds.
Mm-hmm.
Directed at Singer. I've met him and interacted with him before because I've been acting for a long time and he knows my work. So our paths have crossed. Lynn has already left the role in the show that night when Pence came to the show. Lynn's replacement was on that night. She never says he's good. It's funny. I'm sorry I said that.
Yeah.
There were so many rumors surrounding that night. First off, Mike Pence was not booed upon entrance into the theater, as many claimed.
Oh.
There you go.
Well, hold on.
I didn't hear any boos, only clapping and cheering as he entered the theater. There may have been some booing, but I mostly heard clapping and cheering. The cast had been alerted that he was in the audience that night. He was not thrown out, but the show took an almost surreal Greek theater type of feeling, almost like a morality play, with the audience at times acting as the Greek chorus, with pointed moments of the show where this sounds like the what is the show they keep showing at midnight, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, where the audience is taking part.
Yeah, singing along. That's
what she's describing.
Yeah.
Where the actors had to stop the show, which is something to see when they stop the show. Most notably, and for the longest amount of time, during the King George III solo, because there were vociferous reactions from the audience because Mike Pence was in the audience.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Stop right there. Stop. I'm reading the New York Times account of this. Just to go back, the New York Times reports, when Mr. Pence entered the Richard Rogers Theater in Manhattan, he was greeted with a mix of clapping and booing, according to theater goers who posted on Twitter. Oh, okay. Thanks, New York Times.
That's their source, yeah.
Twitter.
New York Times.
And then
the whole musical took on an added urgency and intensity and drive. It was one of the most incredible theatrical experiences I have ever had as an audience member thus far.
Okay, stop. Stop. The audience gave a standing ovation during the play at the line, quote, "Immigrants, we get the job done." The crowd went nuts at King George's lines, "When people say they hate you and do you know how hard it is to lead." He had to stop the song. Was that in her note?
Kind of.
Okay.
But it was like the actors had to stop the show. It's a showstopper. That's what the term refers to.
That's a true showstopper, yes.
Yeah, true one. I've only seen one in my life, and it's something to experience. Most notably, and for the longest amount of time, during the King George III solo. Because there were vociferous reactions from the audience because Mike Pence was in the audience. The whole musical took on an added urgency and intensity and drive. It was one of the most incredible, and she goes on about that. Mike Pence was there for both acts of the musical. What happened at the very end of the musical was that the cast and crew came on stage and read a letter to Pence.
Yes.
The letter was also improvised speaking part from the letter was a plea of sorts. At that time, if you recall, much had been made about how right-wing and Nazi-esque the Trump administration would be. At that time, it had also been discussed that Mike Pence had been involved with some type of religious conversion camp rehab for homosexuals, which was not true. The prevailing thought was that homosexuals would have all their rights that they had gained in recent years repealed or taken away by the new administration. The letter and speech at the end of the show was mostly about that. Mike Pence had started to make his exit from the theater before the cast and crew came out at the end of the show, and they actually called out to him and his people to listen to their plea. Some said that Pence left before the speech was given. I thought he'd listened from the exit.
I have the New York Times reports. Mr. Pence was leaving as Mr. Dixon began to read the statement from the stage. A show spokesman said that Mr. Pence stood in the hallway outside the entrance to the auditorium and heard the full remarks. And the remarks were as follows. We are the diverse America who are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect us, our planet, our children, our parents, or defend us and uphold our inalienable rights. We truly hope that this show has inspired you to uphold our American values and to work on behalf of all of us. You Nazi scum! No, it didn't say that.
Bottom line, she finishes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll wrap it up.
Yep.
He was never thrown out or ejected from the show. On the contrary, the show took an added texture and urgency and pointedness with him there. And the audience became almost like a Greek chorus or a Baptist church with call outs and shouts and reactions because of Mike Pence's presence.
It must have been a very emotional experience.
Oh, I'm sure it was dynamite.
Yeah. With an actual showstopper. I'm sure that was probably a moment for the whole cast.
Oh, it was a moment for everybody in the audience, yes, I'm sure.
It was a moment. Everyone shared a moment. They held hands.
You know, I'm sure he just would rather just go see the damn play.
Right.
Not be bothered. But okay.
I have some.
All right. Well, thanks for the note, Vanessa.
I have a little, just a follow up to our first, to the A block. I have a financial report, very short. Are you familiar with SCI? It's a public company. SCI is the stock ticker, Service Corp International.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them. I don't, not off the top of my head, but I know them.
Well, they are a holding company of funeral parlors and and undertakers. Yeah, so they're a pretty big company, and they had they did their report, their Q3 quarterly report, and here's a quick reading of some salient points in the report.
We saw an unexpected surge in COVID and non-COVID mortality that began in August has continued into October. Therefore, we are seeing funeral volumes and cemetery revenues that have exceeded our previous expectations. We generated adjusted earnings per share of $1.16. That's a 47% increase over the prior year quarter.
Bank.
Quote, overall, the funeral segment performed better than they expected. Continued strong volumes from the Delta variant COVID impact and from excess non-COVID deaths, which tended to skew younger.
Yeah.
And were more pronounced in smaller markets.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Bye, bye, bye. 47% uptick in funerals, parlors, and everything. Beautiful.
Well, what you kind of missed in that report is that little added bonus in the end there about the uptick in deaths of non-COVID deaths in the younger folk.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, government. Thank you, media.
And it can be suicides. It can be all kinds of stuff. We're not saying it's a vaccine. It can be pure isolation, just wearing a mask, respiratory. It can be all kinds of stuff. But people are dying at profitable rates.
There's money and everything.
They blew their number. I mean, they blew out their number. I wish I could get the real call. Hey, guys, great cue. So great to hear so many of your monthly active users are dying. It's really good. Great cue. Great cue.
I have a couple of offbeat clips. I do have some Roe versus Wade stuff, which is now cropping up in the news.
What exactly is going on? I haven't really followed it.
Well, I got four clips that'll explain it all. You'll be good. All caught up.
That's why I show up, man. Man.
Let's go with NTD's version. This is Roe versus Wade 1 NTD.
And the Supreme Court will begin hearing oral arguments tomorrow challenging Roe v. Wade. The case involves a Mississippi law that bans most abortions after 15 weeks.
Okay.
A college professor tells NTD what makes this lawsuit so significant.
Mississippi passed a law in 2018 banning most abortions after 15 weeks. A U.S. district judge immediately struck down the law, calling it unconstitutional. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals later upheld the ruling. Now Mississippi is appealing the case to the Supreme Court. Adam Carrington, a political science professor at Hillsdale College, says this is the biggest abortion case in a generation.
It's the first time since 1992 that the court has accepted a challenge to Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey, the main opinions that define abortion rights in the United States. Since then, since 1992, basically all the cases have worked within that framework. This is the first time where it seems like the court seems open to scaling back significantly or even overturning those cases again in a generation.
Mississippi Attorney General Lynn Fitch asked the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade, writing that the conclusion that abortion is a constitutional right has no basis in text, structure, history, or tradition. Carrington explains what will happen if Roe versus Wade were to be overturned.
I actually would expect states, depending upon their leanings, to go both ways. A lot of states would pass laws that greatly restrict abortion and protect the unborn in a way that they couldn't before. And then I think you're going to see some states follow New York and California's lead and codify greater protections for abortions late in pregnancy as well. You're really going to see a sorting of red and blue states on this.
But this is interesting. Since we have a similar law in Texas. Texas is a little different, though. It's the heartbeat law, which can be before this gestation period, this 15 weeks, which pretty much sounds like first trimester. The question I have, is it just me, or is the term abortion rights being pushed like never before? Have they always talked about abortion rights?
Yeah, I don't know if they're doing the right thing there. I do know that this is really a ploy that the dumb Republicans have played into.
Yeah, somehow they got duped
into
this.
No, the dumb Republicans in Mississippi in particular have played into this. They have to know that the majority of Republican women, the Republican voting women, are for Roe v. Wade. They think things are fine. And the real mystery here is how the court's going to break up and how they're going to go with this. And it's discussed in the further clips, especially when we move over to NPR, where they know what's going on in terms of the politics of it. And this is from NTD, so it's a little more objective. Let's listen to part two from NTD.
The Center for Reproductive Rights is representing the Jackson Women's Health Organization, which is the last abortion clinic in Mississippi, in this lawsuit. They argue that the law defies decades of Supreme Court precedent.
I think that there is a majority of the court that would not have decided Roe the way it was originally decided, and therefore five that would like to see it overturned. I think you need to look at judges like Kavanaugh and Roberts and maybe Barrett, but especially Kavanaugh and Roberts, and ask how dedicated are they to precedent, and are they willing to go with what they thought was originally the right decision over what has become the settled decision of the last 50 years.
The Supreme Court is also looking at a separate law in Texas that bans most abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected. Carrington says if the Supreme Court were to uphold Roe versus Wade, it's unlikely that they'll take on another challenge to it in the near future.
This is hard to overestimate. This is truly a big, momentous decision, and a lot of the future of abortion debate, the pro-life movement, and everything that is attached to that is going to be hinging on what these justices do in this case.
Decisions on the two cases are not expected until well next year.
Okay, question. So first we have to understand that Roe versus Wade is a case where the Supreme Court said we'll use this to not have to deal with the actual question of abortion or the timing of abortion or so-called abortion rights, but the outcome was what a woman, and I would presume a man, but what a woman and her doctor do and discuss is their personal business, and no one needs to know about it. Almost a cornerstone of HIPAA, of medical information, of doing what you want to do. Can this even stand Roe versus Wade with the proposed medical procedures that we can look forward to ourselves being forced upon us? Can you even mandate a vaccine with Roe v. Wade in the way?
This is an interesting point you make, and I think that you've answered your own question about abortion rights.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Democrats, who are the generally on the one side of the argument, used to use pro-choice, and pro-choice brings in vaccination choice.
Right. So you have to use abortion rights.
So they change it to abortion.
I knew that was bothering me. Okay. Yep.
And I think that's why it's bothering you, because the Democrats are pro-choice, they can't use pro-choice anymore, because then it means it refers, because they're the ones behind the vaccine mandates.
And that's what you heard Kara Swisher say, like, oh, these are my body, my choice people. Yeah, that's the same as the women, my body, my choice people. She even got tied up in it herself. She can't even. Oh my God, this is going to be great.
I know it's going to be
so great. So Roe v. Wade is really in the way.
Yeah,
of progress. Of progress.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't think this is going to overthrow Roe v. Wade because those three justices they mentioned, including Amy Coney Barrett, because I think they are precedent oriented because they were trained that way, and precedent is a big deal in this country. You don't start reinventing the wheel from the 1700s. That's for one thing. So let's go to Roe versus Wade 1 NPR.
Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court's landmark 1973 abortion decision, looked to be on shaky ground today. The justices heard nearly 2 hours of arguments in a case from Mississippi that seeks to reverse or at least dramatically cut back on abortion rights defined in Roe nearly 50 years ago. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
When I say liberate, you say abortion. Liberate.
Abortion.
While there were large, cacophonous crowds outside.
Okay. Now, I stopped that right away, and I don't have the rest of it because it's pretty much a reiteration of what we already heard. The second part of this is way 10 minutes later. But I heard this, Nina Totenberg, one of the worst on the NPR. I heard these protesters, Roe v. Wade has got to go.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a group of right wingers. These are phonies.
It's got to be.
The hey, hey, ho, ho thing is a left wing meme. It's what the left always uses. Hey, hey, ho, ho, blah, 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 has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho. This is not a real protest. This was a scam. And she's reporting on it as a real deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course.
And if you listen further into it, they're screaming like the nutballs at the old pink hat, the pussy hat.
Crisis actors.
These are bullcrap crisis actors, and they're all a bunch of lefties making it look like the right wing is. This is all part of the movement to do anything to stop the Republicans from wiping out the Democrats in 2022.
Exactly what John Heilman was suggesting the Republicans are doing.
Exactly. So you have this phony protest with hey, hey, ho, ho, a dead giveaway, by the way.
Yeah, I agree with you there, yeah.
And a bunch of lefties scream, and they're all screeching like, you know, like they do.
So hold on. So what do they also have? Like, let me see. What other lefty chants do we have? We have whose streets are streets? Okay, so it'd be whose uterus are uterus? No,
I didn't hear that one. Okay. But I'm sure they had other left wing things. It was a phony, phony deal because the right is not even. They don't do this stuff. And so we go to the second, which is deeper. This went on forever. So deep at the end, I caught this little bit here where they really kind of give it away. This is a person that comes in to do a little analysis. This is part two.
That was a victory for abortion rights supporters, but a narrow victory, a 5-4 victory. And it was simply an affirmation of very recent precedent from 2016 when the court struck down a very similar law from Texas. So this Mississippi case could go a lot farther. The law in question is more expansive. It goes to the heart of abortion rights. And the court's decision to hear the case at all may signal a willingness to rethink Roe v. Wade. And by the way, that is what the state of Mississippi has explicitly asked the court to do. The state solicitor general is asking the justices to overturn Roe and send the issue of abortion back to the states.
What are the parameters of the Mississippi law exactly?
Well, it bans abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy, as we said. It targets abortion providers with fines and potential loss of their licenses. There are no exceptions for rape or incest. And this law passed in 2018 was blocked in federal court because of the precedent set under Roe v. Wade. So this is really a test case. There's only one clinic in Mississippi right now. Doctors there only go up to 16 weeks in providing abortions. So this is primarily about testing the viability standard created under Roe and reaffirmed in later cases. It says that states have a very limited ability to restrict abortion before a fetus is viable outside a woman's body. 15 weeks is well before that by any measure.
Okay, so right now this is just a law in Mississippi. You said the state Solicitor General wants the courts to essentially kick the decision back to the states. Will right. that happen? Is this likely to become an issue in other states?
Well, if this law is upheld, we will very likely see other conservative states pass similar laws and try to restrict abortion even further beyond 15 weeks. Abortion rights opponents would like to see nationwide bans on abortion, and so this could potentially down the road open the door to federal legislation if Republicans could get enough power in Congress and the presidency. They don't have the votes for that, of course, right now, but that is a long-term goal of the anti-abortion rights movement, and this case could open that door.
All about abortion rights, anti-abortion rights. You're right. It used to be pro-choice, pro-life. Now it's abortion rights, anti-abortion rights.
Yeah, so they changed the language, and they mentioned right in there that, well, you know, legislation can come if the Republicans get in. Those Republicans can get in.
Was that an NPR
this
reporter?
This is an anti-Republican. What?
Was that a reporter who was doing that? That was an NPR
she's
employee?
She works there, yeah. No, she's an NPR person.
Okay.
And she said specifically that, well, right now the Democrats will, you know, have Congress, and but the Republicans, if the Republicans get in, and
oh yeah, happen, oh yeah,
and legislation, those yeah. Republicans will ruin yeah. it for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing is, when they made, you know, it was a conscious decision on the by marketing people to use the term pro-choice.
Yeah.
Because the other side of the argument was they were abortionists, and they were pro-abortion, and abortion yep. was seen as it's not a good word.
Mm-mm.
You know, and so it's abortion.
It's not a good word.
It's not a good word. And so they say came up with pro-choice, my body, they came up with all these marketing things by some people that really were talented and knew what they were doing. And now because of this damn vaccine,
they have to start
Democrats
using, they can't use
had
it
to
anymore.
Back off from their own smart move and change it.
Yeah,
it's just amazing to me that this happened. Let's see, I see one of my
the bat phone is ringing.
The bat phone is ringing.
It might be the commissioner. Oh no! Well, while you deal with the bat phone, there are a couple other trials that are ongoing. Here's a quick update.
Actor Jesse Smollett's trial begins today. Smollett faces multiple disorderly conduct charges for allegedly making false reports to police. In 2019, he claimed he was attacked by a man making racist, anti-gay, and pro-Trump statements. Police determined the claims were a hoax, saying the alleged attackers were brothers who knew the actor and received money from him.
Well, I'm sure we'll hear nothing about that. The trial that's most interesting, but and for different reasons, maybe the most would say is the Ghislaine Maxwell trial.
Yeah, I may have one clip on that
well,
too.
So first of all, it's always fun when the FAA accidentally releases over 700 previously unknown Jeffrey Epstein flights. You know, when these things happen, and Maxwell and Epstein, Maxwell's father, all related to intelligence operations, blackmail. And wouldn't you know, I mean, here's another interesting, BuzzFeed comes out with a great story. CIA files say staffers committed sex crimes involving children and they were not prosecuted. And this is a declassified CIA Inspector General report shows a pattern of abuse and repeated decision by federal prosecutors to not hold agency personnel accountable. So we just have all of these nasty things coming out just by coincidence, I'm sure.
Yeah, and that was, I would say that was an extortion. They let this stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody let it out for the purposes of shutting somebody up.
Yep.
And I think the CIA is somehow involved in this and say, hey, you should note your people were involved in this. You want us to get any further deep into this? And that's kind of been, there's been nothing said about it.
The last time
something's fishy about these releases.
Of course, this is no, if FAA doesn't accidentally release 700 extra flight documents and details to the prosecutor.
No.
Accidentally. And the last time we had Epstein stuff going on, we had all of these CEOs resigning. And I did just want to say it's fun to do a little Google foo, a little searching, and you see how many big CEOs are retiring. A lot of tech CEOs, including those who have had some harassment issues. So you just never know.
That's
you
most
never
most of them.
So I got actually the Clip Custodian brought me this. This is from a podcast, and they talk about the trial because you know there are some podcasts that can follow this much better than we can. And they're really upset. This is no good. There's no information.
She is not complicit in this at all. She is to blame. She abused, allegedly, women, and she needs to face some repercussions. But, Al, are there bigger fish to fry if all these rumors are true?
We always use the phrase bigger fish to fry, but, Jeff, I wonder,
I don't want to name names, so we have to say allegedly.
I wonder if that's ever going to happen, if that meal will ever be served, because these fish are so big, I don't know if they can be gone after, especially by the public. This is probably the strangest case I've ever seen in that, where are the documentaries? There's one, and there's four episodes.
Filthy Rich, I think,
yes,
on Netflix,
I've seen it twice, and there's four episodes, each like an hour and a half, and then that's it. There's no. This is the in terms of like what you want in a journalist. This has celebrity, money, scandal. Like no one's talking about this. Prince Andrew gave that weird interview. Yeah. Who put him up to that? You can't get people from the royal family to sit down for an interview. He gave that weird where I couldn't sweat. There's a weird. thing where the district attorney gave a plea deal without consulting the victims first, which never happens. Then he just went away. What is the details in like this case that involves world leaders?
Exactly. I wish I had time to follow it.
This MI6 CIA versus the CIA. That release of that document from the FAA, that indicates spooks are involved in different levels from different countries. Who the hell knows what's what?
No, we're
never going to find out either, by the way.
Probably not, but I'm hoping we'll see at least one or two. Something's got to give. There's too much scrambling going on. The releases for me was like, oh, okay, especially the CIA stuff. Because that's what they do. They honeypot people. This is what the CIA does. And now, hey, by the way, CIA guys, we see you. We see what you're doing. We see
dumb guy.
But there's
a dumb guy.
In these reports, they release the actual reports, like 2-year-olds, 6-year-olds. It's disgusting.
Ugh.
Yes, our CIA. It's gross. Deranged. Deranged.
And they didn't even just
now. Just to blow your mind,
I do. By the way, before you go blow your mind, I do have the basic report for people who are not following.
Oh, sure. Well, of course, you want a basic.
It's
report.
Just a basic rundown. This is a Maxwell trial. It's on NTD.
Yeah, of course. Is it one of those robots reading the story again? There it is. The Prosecco of beers.
Larry Vasosky.
No, this one is this is Polar Seltzer.
Polar Seltzer. I have here. In a Yeti cup, I have sweet water straight from our well, right from Texas soil.
Oh, good well water is the best.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Vasosky took the stand today. He was Jeffrey Epstein's private pilot since 1991, and he was also a helicopter pilot, and he would frequently fly Epstein and others to Epstein Island in the Virgin Islands. Now, he said he kept a complete passenger manifest log of all the flights, and when he was asked about high-profile people who were on the flights, he mentioned names such as Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, Prince Andrew, and he also mentioned actors such as Kevin Spacey and Chris Tucker. He went on to say that he never saw any women who appeared to be under 20 years old on any of the flights without a parent or legal guardian. He also said that he had no knowledge of any sexual abuse. Now, Ghislaine Maxwell is also a helicopter pilot, and she would fly Epstein and others to Epstein Island. And the first alleged sexual abuse victim took the stand today. She used a pseudonym as Jane and wanted to remain anonymous. She said she first met Maxwell and Epstein when she was attending an art camp in Michigan. Now, she was surprised to find out that Maxwell and Epstein resided in Palm Beach, Florida, where she was also residing at the time. She went on to say that Epstein would praise her and said she had potential, and he offered to pay for her education, and he would often give her money when she visited his mansion. She went on to say that Epstein began sexually abusing her at the age of 14, and Maxwell was often in the same room during the abuse. And she started crying on the stand when she was telling this story. Now, there are three other alleged sexual victims that are expected to testify.
So this is such a dud. This is exactly what I think Vanity Fair reported all of this a year ago or longer. Okay, what a waste of time.
Yeah, it's going nowhere.
What a waste.
All right, they're not covering and they're not doing, they're not pushing. The media is not pushing. I think so many people must be involved.
I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to blow your mind now.
Okay, here we go.
I mean, it's just in the continuing saga of what do we do with Joe. You may have noticed that three important staffers have left the vice president's employ, including Simone Sanders. Now, Simone Sanders, I mean, she's a spokeshole. She's a massive spokeshole. And so they're bailing. The rats are leaving the ship. So I will give to you verbatim the conspiracy theory rumor that is floating around. Just to make sure we have it out there, not saying it's true or even possible.
Hold on. Did this come from Agent Orange?
No, it did not.
Okay. Go ahead.
Kamala Harris will resign as vice president. And it will be family, mental health, something. And she will be richly rewarded. Again, I'm telling you verbatim what is being said. She will get a $25 million mansion in return. And she'll be set up. According to the 25th Amendment, then the president can elect or appoint a new vice president. It does have to be approved by the full House of Representatives and the Senate. So the thinking is, and I don't know how it would work, but the thinking is Hillary Clinton, vice president, Joe resigns, she's president, done. I'm just putting it out there because that's what people are saying. I'm not saying it's possible.
I don't know what people are saying that because I never heard it before.
No, it's new.
But Clinton's on the outs with the party. There's no way this is going to happen, and the public wouldn't put up with it. This is not even close to being a reality.
Well, the only reason why I'll say maybe, maybe not, is because look what the public is putting up with. They're putting up with mandates, lockdowns, all kinds of crazy shit. People are putting up with all kinds of things these days.
That just shows you how much they won't put up with.
We'll see.
At some point, there's a breaking point, and
where is it? Clinton, when is it? Where's the breaking point?
Hillary Clinton would be the breaking point.
No. The breaking point is, you know, if the Super Bowl wasn't played. We don't care like that.
Well, yeah, people hate her. There's no way.
Well, that's okay, because we have a new player on the scene.
Now, but going back to this idea of Kamala quitting and then replacing her, I mean, they could replace her with somebody that's actually competent and it could do the job and is not part of some scheme to enslave the world.
But here's the question, though. If the full House and Senate have to approve the new appointee, if she resigns, does she still get to cast the remaining vote in the Senate or the if there's a tie?
No. Of course not. She's resigned. She's not even there anymore. She's living in her new mansion. How can she, was she going to come back? Hey, Kamala, can you come back?
So that's where I think they won't make it. I mean, they have to have a Republican step over the line.
Maybe. Well, there's always a couple of dipshit Republicans that are gladly step over the line. But, you know, then they have to still do it before 2022 when the Republicans should take over both houses. Yeah. Unless they squander the opportunity with this Roe versus Wade nonsense, and because they're dumb, but then they'd have to pick somebody the Republicans would go along with, which I don't know who that would be, but it'd probably be somebody pretty middle of the road. I just don't see any of this happening.
Okay, no, that's again.
Biden is staying put. Their media's covering for him like there's no tomorrow. Yeah. We can ridicule him all we want.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody else can too. I got a note from somebody, one of our producers, saying, you guys really do have an agenda. You don't like the current administration.
No, that was not a note you got. That was a note I got.
I got it too.
Yeah, because you did. My reply was genius.
Is that?
That's the one.
That was the note I'm
thinking
of.
That's the one. Oh, no, that's the one. You want me to read it? I'll read it. Let me see.
Read the note and then read your reply, because I'm the one who gave you the genius credit.
Yes. Here it is.
For your response.
Facts matter.
By the way, I don't make responses like this ever. I'm very kind and gentle with people who write me nasty notes.
You just block them. What are you even talking about? You're full of crap.
I do that too. But besides that.
You're right, dear Adam and John. My husband has enjoyed your show, rarely misses one since your first episode. He used to tell me that the great thing about the show is that you guys always challenge the status quo. You play devil's advocate and interrogate whatever the prevailing socio-political agenda may be. If I'm around, I often listen too. What has become increasingly clear over the past couple of years, however, especially following the last presidential election, is that you actually do have a significant political agenda, which is to be apologists for most things Trump and Trump-related. You seem completely disrespectful of the current administration. That's fine, I assume, with most of your, quote, producers. But I just thought I'd let you know, for whatever it may or not be worth, that your hard right sympathies are very transparent. In fairness, I do not hear many of your shows, but whenever I do happen to listen, my impression is always as above. And so I replied.
Wait. First of all, I want to set you up, so don't jump into your thing.
All right.
So this notion that, you know, this is the old, well, I don't listen, but... She doesn't listen to the show. We're not sitting here apologizing for Trump. You don't even want him to run again. I mean, it's just nonsense.
I don't.
Of course you don't. And I don't really either. I think Ron DeSantis would be the
best. Yeah, but keep it back to the note, because now, again,
I'm going to go back to
the note. You're an apologist.
She goes on and on bitching and without listening to the show. And so, starting off with the premise that her husband likes the show. So you deciding to be acerbic with very poignant, short response, wrote the following.
Thanks for the note. I'm sorry you are not getting along well with your husband.
Boom. She won't hear this either.
Yeah, I was just like, how am I going to answer this? Someone who doesn't listen to the show is saying that we have a significant political agenda and we're apologists for most things Trump and Trump related and completely disrespect. No, we're anti-media, lady. That's what we are. We're anti-media. So when the media was
deconstruction.
Yeah, that's what we do. Anyway, I don't even know how we got on that.
You did.
Yeah. So
I did. It's my fault.
So let me get back to a new player on the scene. I think you have a clip as well. This is fantastic, because now we have another one of America's favorite doctors, favorite for decades, primetime daytime talk show, Dr. Oz, now running as a Republican. Oh, no. You have a clip? I have a couple, so I want to do yours.
I have a kind of an overview clip from NTD again.
Mehmet Oz, best known as Dr. Oz, announced today that he's running for the U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania. The cardiac surgeon and TV personality who's running as a Republican shared the news in this campaign video.
Cardiac surgeon, just mind you, not a quack, cardiac surgeon.
COVID has shown us that our system is broken. We lost too many lives, too many jobs, and too many opportunities because Washington got it wrong. They took away our freedom without making us safer and tried to kill our spirit and our dignity. As a heart surgeon, I know how precious life is.
Oz says this is why he's running for Senate.
He added that, quote, Pennsylvania needs a conservative who will put America first, one that can reignite our divine spark, bravely fight for freedom, and tell it like it is.
Well, this triggered a lot of people. This was very, very, very triggering event because, and actually, I'm glad you had that clip because I have his whole announcement, which is a minute, but that's the crux of it is, hey, he's not really saying anything super negative other than, you know, he's not saying, don't get vaccinated. He's saying, hey, wait a minute. These choices were shit. These guys aren't running anything, right? You need someone to come in. And he's a surgeon. I don't know if he practices still, but he's not a schmuck. He isn't actually not unlike the first lady. He's a real doctor. And this is this is a super triggering moment. So let's go to our favorite sources to listen to how this horrible man has to be discredited. And I think, is there an open seat in Pennsylvania? Is there someone not running?
I don't know if he's primary. No, yes. That's a good one. Somebody's either retired. Yeah, somebody's retiring.
Okay, so it could be like a shot for an open goal. I mean, this could be a shoe-in for him. And so
it could be.
So we need to immediately discredit him on the ever-successful ABC. ABC's The View.
The TV doctor, Mehmet Oz, wants to be the next senator of Pennsylvania.
That's just crazy talk. That's almost like a girl named Karen Elaine Johnson calling herself Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, God. Let me close my lips. But it's pretty clear whose vote he's courting when he went on Sean Hannity last night.
Oh. By the way, we also go, oh. I'm with The View on that. Oh, God, Hannity. We have to listen to a Hannity clip. Please say no.
When he went on Sean Hannity last night. Take a look.
Remember the phrase 2 weeks to flatten the curve? Right? That metastasized into this incredible authoritarianism, overreaching, that did not necessarily make us safer. Remember they closed the parks, they shamed people about beaches, right? And now they're threatening the same overreach for the Omicron as you were just talking about. I think those choices should be yours, the American people's.
I would say I'm an America first, make America great again conservative. How would you describe in just a sentence your political ideology?
I match yours. I think this country has all the building blocks to be spectacular.
Well, stop. I do want you to go back. I think it ends there. Yeah, back it up. This is one of those interviews. We've spotted this before, where Hannity doesn't want the person on the air. He doesn't want the person there.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. This guy is unwatchable.
He goes flat. He goes totally flat with the guy. He's unenthusiastic. He says, and it's almost that you can hear in his voice, he's going,
I'm an American first, make America great again.
I didn't book you. Somebody else booked you, and they told me I had to have you on.
Didn't book you.
If it was my choice, I'd have anybody but you on. I don't like you, and here you are.
I didn't.
That's what he's saying. You can hear it in his voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think those choices should be yours, the American people's.
I would say I'm an America first, make America great again conservative. How would you describe in just a sentence your political ideology?
I match yours. I think this country has all the building blocks to be spectacular.
What happened to him? What happened to him? He's gone over to the dark side. Oh, my God.
I know. Hard to see a doctor saying that.
Imagine a doctor saying something that you don't agree with as a non-doctor. Imagine. So the takedown was so beautiful. Pooper on CNN had a seven-minute package. Oh, yeah. I cut it down to $1.30. Seven-minute package showing, I mean, I don't mean how many hours Dr. Oz has done, but he's had green coffee beans for gastric health. I mean, he's had all kinds of stuff. So they just do a supercut of stuff that is, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. And the show is a
daily show. It's been on for thousands of hours.
Yeah. So it's not hard to pull stuff out. And I cut a lot out of this. The original is linked in the show notes, but it does give you a good idea of what they're doing to discredit the doctor.
After hinting more than a decade ago that he would consider running for office, television personality, surgeon, and longtime New Jersey resident Dr. Oz is gearing for a career.
By by the way, long-term New Jersey resident. I think that's a slur now.
And well, long- no. What? No, that was to point out that he's not from Pennsylvania.
Ah, of course. Long-term New Jersey resident.
After hinting more than a decade ago that he would consider running for
office. By the way, people, is kind of butts up against Pennsylvania, New Jersey, you know, neighbors.
Office television personality, surgeon, and longtime New Jersey resident, Dr. Oz, is gearing for a career change, running for a U.S. Senate seat in Pennsylvania as a Republican. He says the pandemic motivated him to run. Dr. Oz writes in a Washington Examiner op-ed, quote, "The arrogant, closed-minded people in charge closed our parks, shuttered our schools, shut down our businesses, and took away our freedom." Dr. Oz, of course, gained popularity as the doctor who made regular appearances on Oprah. Then he landed his own daily daytime TV gig where he came under fire for making controversial and fabricated claims about medical cures.
By the way, notice the, he had his own daily gig. Yeah, it was a huge, successful talk show.
Just to demean it.
Yeah, gig.
Tonight's Randy Kay has the story.
I want to challenge y'all.
His audience is watching in awe as Dr. Mehmet Oz pushes so-called miracle treatments or cures that often lack medical evidence to back them up.
Hello, hydroxychloroquine. Hello.
And I've got the number one miracle in a bottle to burn your fat. It's raspberry ketone.
More recently, he made claims during the pandemic that critics called medical misinformation.
I would take it myself if I was having issues with the virus.
That's Dr. Oz speaking with Larry King last year about using the controversial anti-malaria drug, hydroxychloroquine, to fight the coronavirus. Remarks that he later walked back.
Because it's believed to be so safe, it's used widely. And it turns out that it might have an effect against this virus.
How is that walking it back?
That's a good catch.
That's not really walking it back. I mean, he's being a little more nuanced, but he's not walking it back.
I want to see if they use, I want to see how this goes because there's a, keep playing.
With Larry King last year about using the controversial anti-malaria drug, hydroxychloroquine, to fight the coronavirus. Remarks that he later walked back.
Because it's believed to be so safe, it's used widely. And it turns out that it might have an effect against this virus.
The fact is, the CDC has noted the drug's efficacy to either prevent or treat this infection are unknown. It's warned that unsupervised use of hydroxychloroquine can cause serious health consequences, including death. A 2014 study in the peer-reviewed British Medical Journal found that of 40 randomly selected episodes from Oz's television show, his health recommendations were based on evidence just 46% of the time.
Oh, no.
If Dr. Oz has his way, he'll soon trade television for the U.S. Senate.
By the way, there's no difference, lady. Politics is show business for ugly people. What were you looking for in the discreditation?
Well, the thing, if you're going to slam the guy, I would take, if it was me producing this side of it, and I was out to get him, I would have done a package of a series of, I would have put some work into it. There's no little work put into this. They put targeted hydroxychloroquine.
Again, John.
Yeah, I know. I understand there's a lot more, but I can see that where they were going, they were a little bit lazy. I would have targeted maybe five or six of his dubious claims and then taking it up a notch and say, in fact, his claims were so bad, there's a Senate hearing. Did they do the Senate hearing?
Yeah, they did a little bit of the Senate hearing with McCaskill.
I would have brought up this. I would have said that his claims are so off the wall and he's so unhinged that they had to bring him in front of the U.S. Senate to scold him.
Yeah, they kind of did that, but not the way you're saying it. In fact, it was so poorly done, I left it out.
To scold him, and they did. They scolded him. I remember the clips. To scold him, to tell him to tone it down. That's how bad he is.
Yeah.
And then I cut back to Cooper. Pooper.
Yeah.
There's more to do. They'll get it right. They definitely don't do that.
I'm happy to see Dr. Oz. He's fun.
Yeah, I think he'd probably be a good senator. He'd probably put some effort into it.
Yeah, it's a new guy on the scene. I do have one more view clip if you want, just 25 seconds. Oh. Yeah, come on. Oh, come okay. on. You know you want it.
You know, when the founding fathers were busy with the amendments, the First and Second Amendments did not have AR-15s in there, mm-hmm. weapons of war, mm-hmm. and they didn't have Twitter. So both amendments, I think, need to be tweaked a little bit. You know, I'm a
big fan. That's a whole new conversation. That's a whole new conversation.
We make our living on the First Amendment, so we love it. But there's a lot of hate speech and misinformation needs to be dealt with.
Okay, then of course, this triggers my commentary about when you were in the 1860s, you could have a cannon. You could have a cannon in front of your house. And in fact, Cassius Clay, the original, the brother of the other Clay, Andrew, was it Clay?
Andrew Dice Clay.
The brother of Andrew Dice Clay. Cassius Clay had a cannon in front of his house because he was an abolitionist and they kept trying to raid his house, the sheriff. And he'd load the cannon up with a bunch of, you know, broken glass and then fire it at him over and over until they went away. Now, does anybody understand that this is a little more than an AR-15?
No, but a cannon you have to reload, you see. That does go back to the original.
You can have 10 cannons then. It doesn't matter. It was all legal.
Yeah.
So.
You homeschooled... Your kids, right? For
on and off. Yeah, not consistently throughout, but
it was also in groups of homeschool kids, or was it just just at home only you and Mimi, or was it, did they often join groups of other homeschool kids?
No, you tended it's the homeschools, which are there's no such thing. It's just you're at home schooling. Mm. It's homeschooling. It's not homeschools.
Okay.
And there are events coordinated. There are people out there that like to do a lot of events. And they're from various, you know, Muslims. Muslims are the big event people, it seems to me. At least it was our experience. And they would set up tours of farms and dairy operations and other things. And you can sign up.
Oh, okay.
You can go on those things. So it's like getting out of that. It was just like, what was it called when you're in grammar school or high school? Is a field trips. So there were there's institutionalized field trips for homeschoolers. And it's very educational. It's a good thing to do.
I was just thinking, you know, it's like they had this school shooting in Michigan, which is a really weird one. This kid's going to be charged for terrorism. Apparently, there were kids who knew this was going down. He was posting pictures with a countdown clock.
Wait, why didn't somebody bust him?
Well, we're going to find out or not. But I was just thinking, we got to get rid of guns, guns. I'm like, you don't hear about a lot of homeschooling shootings, do you?
Except from the kids from the home being homeschooled shooting their parents. That happens quite a bit.
Oh, it does?
No. No.
The Menendez brothers were homeschooled? I had no idea.
There you go.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda.
And in fact, we do have a few people to thank as we're pushing the limits of our show length. Susan Johnson's at the top of the list, $121.21. And apparently she says, my son Elliot punched me in the face.
Oh, no.
No, he's supposed to punch you in the mouth, Susan.
Not in the face. Careful with your mom. Him? You know, how many moms do you have, man?
I don't know. Anyway, this is a palindrome. She's the only one. I suggested palindromes for today's donation. She's the only one that came up with 12121.
No, we did have a 20202.
Yes, but I mean in the lesser amounts.
Yes. Yeah.
Brent Dresser, 112. Well, then there'd be two total.
Yeah.
Kind of disappointing.
Another dynamite promotion.
This is palindrome month. We get nothing but palindromes.
Another dynamite promotion from your No Agenda show.
Yeah, we do that. We do our part.
Yeah, we do.
Brent Dresser, 112.35. Baron Ledekin, 100. Karen Hafner, 100. Sir Kevin McLaughlin, the Duke of Luna, and the lover of America. And guess
boobs.
What?
Boobs.
Boobs. 8008. As long as we keep promoting Sir Kevin, he'll keep donating every single show. Jennifer Williams, 6969. She claims she's in anywhere.
Well, she says...
Is there a town of anywhere in Virginia?
That wouldn't surprise me. Spooksville, USA. In the morning, lads, you are my sanity right now. She lives in anywhere, so no wonder. Been listening since early 2020. Thank God, could use that ever so trusty Jobs karma. Yeah, we'll put that at the end for you.
Craig Kohler, Evansville, Illinois, Indiana. Greg Kohler, Evansville, Indiana, 6502. Keegan Sullivan, 5624 in Peoria, Illinois. Nicholas Soaps in Peyton, Colorado, 5510.
Birthday.
Jack Welch, 55, he's a birthday boy. Jack Welch in Burien, Washington. You'll see that signage outside the airport, 55.
This is my first donation. Please deduce me.
You've been deduced.
And he has a couple douchebag callouts. Hadassah.
Douchebag.
Nehemiah.
Douchebag.
And Annabelle.
Douchebag.
I've been hitting them in the mouth in the evenings when my wife's not around. They are real douchebags. Okay. Apparently. Yeah.
Eric Hochul. Sir Eric Hochul in Motorose. Yeah. Deutschland, $52.
Yep.
Anonymous, $51.50, and the following people are $50 on the short list that we have today. Tony Lang in Castle Pines, Colorado. Shane Grubb in Cleveland, Tennessee. Jason Maurer in Portland, Oregon. Jill Woods in Ocean Grove, New Jersey. Timothy Moore in Arlington, Texas. Herbert Hess in Spring, Texas. Brent Chickney in Lake Worth, Florida. Bill Carey in San Francisco, California. Brett Holmgren in Elko, BC, Canada. Zach Welch, in Burien, Washington. Again, Burien. Joseph Barnes in Oakland, California. Ryan Brown in Hebron, Kentucky. Andrew Watson in Fairhope, Alaska. And last but not least, Aichi Kitagawa in San Francisco. Thank you for all these folks for making this show possible. This is how it works.
Yes, thank you. And thank you. If you came in under $50, you might be on one of our sustaining donations. That is always appreciated. And often people do that for anonymity. All producers of Gitmo Nation and of this podcast, the No Agenda Show, specifically this episode, 1404, we thank you very much for making it happen. If you'd like to participate for 1405, go to
Dvorak.org/NA.
Jobs karma as requested.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Yeah!
Karma.
Lots of short lists today, including the birthdays, but we still have a couple. Tina Selby, happy birthday to her husband, Tylan Selby, turned 31 on November 28th, so I guess we missed that one. We're sorry. Sir Sean Black Knight, if the dude's name Ben, celebrates today. Nicholas Soap says happy birthday to his smoking hot wife, Tabitha, 41 today. Lorraine's unbelievably hot husband, Alan, 55 tomorrow. And Joseph Salashur, happy birthday to his brother, Alex, a.k.a. the goofy-looking, lanky Jethro Jebediah. Indeed. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe.
It's your birthday, yeah.
So we have three nights to bring up today, which should be fun.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here's my blade.
I'll step back for the excitement. Ah, Richard Altman, Trevor, Mike Saliba, all of you up here on the podium. Gentlemen, thank you so much for supporting the No Agenda Show and the amount of $1,000 or more that gives you a coveted spot here at the round table, the No Agenda Knights and Dames. And I am very proud to pronounce the Surrealist of the Muddle, Sir Captain Trev, Baron of the Dakota Territory, and Sir Mike of Axe Head Watchmakers, Liberator of Michigan's 9th Congressional District. For you, we've got Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys and Chardonnay, Miller High Life, the Champagne of Beers, Fried Chislick Caviar of the Dakotas, Porterhouse and Poppy Van Winkle, Geishas and Sake, Vodka and Vanilla, Sparkling Cider and Escorts, Ginger Ale and Gerbils, and of course, the Mutton and Mead with plenty of garlic salt. Because we know that's extra good. And you, gentlemen, can head over to noagendanation.com/rings, and you can fill in all the details so we get those out to you as soon as possible. You can hit people in the mouth with your beautiful No Agenda Signet Night Ring. And we thank you for supporting the No Agenda Show. And now let's talk about some meetups.
No agenda.
Meetups. Like a party.
Like a party.
Now, this is not a small list. There's a lot of meetups being organized in the next couple of days. But first, let's see how things went at the recent Cincinnati, Ohio meetup.
In the morning, wannabe Sir Juan.
This is Stell. Thanks, Redna, for hitting me in the mouth.
George K. In the morning.
This is Third. In the morning.
This is Maddie. ITM.
This is Dave. In the morning.
This is Mike. In the morning.
Hi, this is soon-to-be Sir Aiden, mayor of Titty City. In the morning.
Greetings. This is Chris from Cincinnati. Just welcomed our fifth human resource to the crowd. In the morning. Gents.
Sir Colin, in the morning.
Hey, this is Jake with my human resource, Eloise.
Aww.
Second meetup for her. She was a trap baby. I don't know about that anymore.
In the morning, this is Emily at my second now monthly meetup at Tap Reporium in Cincinnati, Ohio. There's about 30 people here, and everybody's doing great. We're excited for the next one. Come join us.
Yeah. Oh, too bad about the cutoff there. I like that's a good meetup report. Fast. Everyone's up tempo. Love it. Let's see how FEMA Region Number 9 did.
John Collins from the FEMA Region Number 9 meetup in Atascadero.
And Holly.
No.
In the morning, Adam and John. This is Will Thurman.
The anonymous cop is mobile in Paso. I might be the spook.
In the morning, it's Lexi.
In the morning, Gustav here. Drove my gas guzzler today.
In the morning, a guy named Ben. Glad to be here.
In the morning, it's Cammy representing your local douchebag 808.
In the morning, it's Third Robertson of Two Sticks and having a great time. In the morning!
Yeah, the cops now just openly attending the meetups. Very good. I love that. I love that. Here's what's happening today in the Catskill Mountains. There's a meetup at 6:30 at Rough Cut Brewing in Cronkson, New York. The South Florida meetup is underway as we speak at Taco Craft in Fort Lauderdale. The Florida East Coast meetup, 3:33 p.m., underway at Game Over Barcade, West Melbourne, actually about to start. That's Florida, West Melbourne, Florida. The South Jersey FJB mandatory integrity training, 2 o'clock at Miller's Ale House in Mount Laurel. You guys should be whooping it up by now. This is all Saturday. The first one was Thursday. I'm sorry. These are all Saturday the 4th, so they're all forthcoming. So South Jersey FJB mandatory integrity training, 2 o'clock at Miller's Ale House, Fort Laurel Township, New Jersey. Saturday, Fraser Valley Slaves of Gitmo Nation in Abbotsford, British Columbia, the South Fraser Way. It's a private venue, so you got to go to noagendameetups.com to get more information. The CNY Upstate New York meetup, 5 o'clock on Saturday, Abbott's Village Tavern in Marcellus, New York. The Northeast Ohio Almost Winter Solstice Gathering, 5 o'clock at Hooley House in Copley, Ohio. This is great. So Saturday is the day. The first annual Nutfish. John, oh my God, you need to go to Baron's Pizza, which is in Louisville, on Saturday for the first annual Nutfisting Festival, presented by Maxine Waters Gravel. Oh, my goodness.
Nice.
Yes, we need video and pictures from this meetup and a full report of the first annual Nutfisting Festival. Beer Nose Pizza, Fern Creek. You've got to RSVP, 8:30. First Loving the Lava Meetup, Big Island. Ooh, this is, I think, 3 o'clock Honolulu time. The Temple Bar, Hilo, Hawaii. That's the Big Island. And then on Sunday, December 5th, Show Day, Crossroads of America, ITM Tribal Gathering, 3:30 at Sun King Barrel House in Indianapolis, Indiana. The GTX Variant Conditioning, 3:33 p.m. at Barking Armadillo Brewery in Georgetown, Texas. The Thailand's Quality Tourist Meetup in Pattaya. Wow. 4 o'clock Bangkok time, Heaven Club and Lounge. Uh-huh. You have good time. Ladyboy would be there. It'd be fantastic. And the Colorado Springs Local 719 at 6 o'clock Mountain Time at Pikes Peak Brewing. That actually is the show day after that, December 9th. We have meetups scheduled throughout the month of December. We already have them for January. This is what you need. This is what you want to take the family to. Completely producer organized. You will meet children from other lands and you will love it. you will have a good time. The No Agenda Meetups. If you can't find one near you, start one yourself. It's really not that hard. NoAgendaMeetups.com. Always guaranteed a pate.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me. Triggered all hell to flame. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
Yo, yo.
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 Yo, yo.
I have a quick note to read.
Oh, please do.
Citizen X writes.
You, by the way, usually we do ISOs, but if you want to break format, I'm okay.
I'm breaking format.
Oh, my God.
I just want to get this note out of the
way. All right.
I was bitching about the fact you can't get a hold of the artists.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't. They don't have any information. But she corrects me. She says, make an announcement. Have the artist complete their profile on a No Agenda art generator with contact information. I have no idea where this profile is. The feature is there. My profile links to my Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see them update their profiles because many times I want to compliment the artist on their work and the contact information is missing. Hope this helps. Okay.
Be better, That's artists.
A, do better. Be better. I've got three.
Oh, okay. Well, you're going to kick my ass then, probably. What do you got?
I don't have any good ones.
Oh, all right. Well, let's hear them anyway.
Okay, let's go with Boosted.
I don't see. I see. It's different. I got it. Hey, why is this not playing? Oh, crap.
Get boosted.
My controller broke again for some reason. It doesn't matter. I can finish.
Get boosted.
Okay, that's a really bad edit.
It wasn't that bad when I did it.
Okay.
Let's try this one. This is horror and scary.
Horror and scary, okay.
It's horrifying to me, and it's scary.
Okay, a little long.
I thought that'd be the way to end the show.
Okay, a little long.
Well, then to try the short version, which is horror.
It's horrifying to me.
Try this. See what you think of this.
I'm not a reporter. I'm a podcaster.
What was it?
Yeah, see, you can't. It's I'm a reporter. I'm a podcaster. It's not good.
I'm not a reporter. No. I'm a podcaster.
Now, the only other candidate I have is...
Because I love being vaccinated.
Okay, no, that's the winner.
That's so sick. It's so sick.
Yeah, that's the one you wanted. I thought that was going to be in there.
Yeah, well, that's...
I thought I wouldn't have a chance against that.
Well, I wanted to save it for last. I wanted to see if it really was, if that was the one. But it was. It's perfect. It works. Hey, it worked.
It works.
Do we have...
Okay, I have...
Yes.
I have two clips because they're informational. Mm-hmm. And they highlight the crappy reporting of NPR. If you don't mind two clips, which is
gonna I'm actually all for it.
Okay, so we have two clips from Barbados has just turned independent.
You know, I saw this story, and you know what immediately hit my mind about this? The Queen is dead. She's dead.
Well, that's a funny. I didn't think of that.
She's dead.
Let's listen to the story because it has a twist when you listen to it from the. I think this is NTD. Mm-hmm. This is Barbados Independence. And then we're going to listen to the part. The NPR had a little longer story, but NPR story was didn't bring up the most interesting point at all. You'll see when we get to it. Let's play this. This is the real story.
Fireworks fill the sky as Barbados officially swears in Sandra Mason as its first ever president. The island is home to over 300,000 people.
We now turn our vessel's bow towards the new republic.
While the island will remain a member of the Commonwealth, this is the first time in almost three decades that a realm has removed Queen Elizabeth as head of state. Despite the official celebration, British Member of Parliament Tom Tugendhat has accused China of playing a large role in Barbados's decision. He said Beijing is using investments to gain leverage and undermine the UK's status as a key partner with Caribbean nations. In recent years, Barbados has reportedly embraced more than $600 million in funding from China for projects as part of Beijing's Belt and Road Initiative.
Okay, wow. Just for the news alone, you get this one. Clip of the day. Holy crap, I'm pissed at myself. I should have immediately gone and looking for Barbados. What is this Barbados crap?
I don't know.
What happened to Barbados? Why is it Barbados all of a sudden? I don't like Barbados, but I'm going to say it forever now. So China, of course.
Yeah, duh.
Of course. Hello.
Now, so China pulls this stunt and they get away with it. NPR never mentions China. Instead, they go into a hagiography of Rihanna.
Really?
Who's from Barbados.
Barbados.
and they go on about her being the third woman that's now running the place because she got some award for being the greatest person ever in the history of Barbados. And that's all they talk about. And NPR drops the ball on China.
Oops.
Completely. Here's part of what, this is the end of it where they just like, it's an eye roller.
First ever president of Barbados, a woman and their female prime minister.
In a country like Barbados, women are primarily heads of single parent households and are thought to play such a tremendous role in nurturing of young people. It really is fitting that we now have three women in positions of leadership, two of them in the highest offices of the land. It really speaks about the direction, the positive, progressive direction in which we are looking to go.
So our congratulations to the Right Honorable Rihanna, National Hero of Barbados.
Oh, man.
And throughout their meaningful report, they're playing Rihanna clips the whole time. And then they're extolling the virtues of single motherhood, which is a globalist at Black Lives Matter.
That's right. That's right.
So we get this kind of crap from them. Meanwhile, China's taken over the place and they're clueless because they got to play some Rihanna. Give me a break. NPR just stinks.
I'm thinking that China is actually behind the name change to Barbados. That's the most egregious part. We got end of show mixes from the clip custodian himself, Neil Jones, Tom Starkweather with another anthology. Then we have old time pal of the pod, Mike Malaro, coming in from Pennsylvania with a great little ditty. Check out Mike's Value for Value YouTube, Mike Malaro. You can learn how to play guitar, picking guitar. And then by request, so a little longer today, we have the No Agenda Alphabet mix by the formerly drunken minstrel, Sir Chris from Australia, locked down like a dog down under. And Curry and the Keeper coming up next on noagendastream.com. Stay tuned for that. Coming to you from the heart of Texas Hill Country, FEMA Region Number 6 in the morning, everybody. I am Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I haven't left the area for 15 years, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Sunday right here for another episode of Your Media Deconstruction, the No Agenda Show, best podcast in the universe. Until then, adios, mofos. Remember us at Dvorak.org/NA and such.
The World Health Organization, at an emergency meeting today, gave the highly transmissible variant of concern, as they call it, a name, Omicron.
Today, we are announcing B11529 as a variant of concern named Omicron.
It does appear that Omicron spreads very rapidly and can be spread between people who are double vaccinated.
This variant is a cause for concern, not a cause for panic.
This new variant is a cause for concern, but not panic.
And I do think this is a variant of concern, but it's not a cause for panic.
Doctors say there shouldn't be any reason for panic, but rather concern.
If people are vaccinated and wear their masks, there's no need for lockdown.
Omicron.
And
Then the FDA will consider these as we call a strain change. Just like we do influenza vaccine every year, we don't relicense a new influenza vaccine. We exchange one influenza vaccine for another.
Do not wait. Get boosted.
No earthly king or president or public health official or billionaire technocrat gets to dictate what we must put into our bodies.
Congress never gave OSHA any authority whatsoever to tell employers what they must require employees to inject into their body.
Nothing has changed on our deadline or our approach to the federal employee vaccine requirement. The deadline was last week, November 22nd.
Everywhere we need vaccine mandates.
You're not saying whether you are vaccinated. Do you want to say now?
Walking around lawfully unvaccinated? That's psychotic.
Get vaccinated. Get boosted. Get vaccinated. Get vaccinated.
You have to get your vaccine. You have to get the shot. You have to get the, also, get the booster. If you're...
Boosting is really very important.
Do not wait.
Get boosted.
Depending on the new strain, it can be a problem.
Right.
So today I want to take a few moments to talk about the new COVID variant.
And the sequence was confirmed at the CDC as being consistent with the Omicron variant.
You might have 10, 15 people end up inside that building that's with COVID.
So it's time to admit that we have to go to war against COVID. Require vaccination universally. Have the military run it.
America, if it's nothing else, it's about liberty. It's about being able to live your life free from the government telling you what to do.
We're working with our European partners in lockstep.
When you get a high enough level of an immune response, you get spillover protection.
Any president that has the authority to make you take an injection is, frankly, a totalitarian president.
Swoop into a community, they will create a false narrative.
And we know these employee mandates work.
That is true, but scientists don't think that lasts forever, and eventually they wane, just like the antibodies you get from your vaccine wanes, which is why people are getting boosters.
Do not wait.
Get boosted.
Do not wait.
Get boosted.
When I think back on all the crap the M5 had told us, it's a wonder I can still think it all. Will the mass formation scheme sure was effective? We got the stabbies in nearly every arm. Oh, a crow. So if the virus don't kill you, it's a vaccine that'll do you. Makes you think Delta was just a sunny day. Oh, got my green passport, love to board an airplane. Fauci's gonna name a new variant today. Mama don't take his Omicron, mama don't take his Omicron, mama don't take his Omicron away. Mama don't take his Omicron, globalists track you on the phone. Mama don't take his Omicron away. Mama don't take his Omicron. Mama don't take his Omicron. Mama don't take his Omicron away. Yeah. Mama don't take his Omicron. Go to this track you on the phone. Mama don't take his Omicron away.
To believe, my friend.
Don't eat me, Hillary Clinton.
Shut up already. Science. It's all
almost too delicious to believe, my friend.
There's no real conflict. There's no real conflict.
Citizen. It's almost too delicious to believe, my friend.
Yes, we can. There's no real conflict.
Hey, citizen.
Yes, we can.
Dvorak.org/NA
Because I love being vaccinated.